Pumpkins and Pals, and there's also therapy too.
Okay, perfect. Well, do you just want to go ahead and get into it?
Sure, Holly.
Okay. Well, we're doing the camping episode at this moment. And it's kind of crazy because I feel like this episode isn't like super mega, like, I don't know, eventful, I guess. But this DVD had DVD commentary, and there's like 100,000 different things that I need to tell you about the behind the scenes. And it was really cool. But okay, so before we do that, so Camping Season 3, Episode 8, I do have a recap from Harvest Festival because there were a couple things that we needed to like tie the... What's the word? Like just close it out.
Okay. Yeah, like tie up loose ends.
Yes, thank you. That's what I meant to say. Thank you so much. Okay. So, last episode, Leslie Knope said that Little Sebastian was the eighth most photographed thing. And we were wondering, because I had looked up the eighth most photographed thing, like, just in general. And I was like, did she mean eighth most photographed thing of, like, the year, that week, that, like, in whatever? Because the things that I found were kind of, like... weird, or not weird, they were just like super big, and so we were just confused. But regardless, okay, here's what I found. So let's see. So the line that Leslie Knope says is that week he was the eighth most photographed thing in America in 1987, which is when the Harvest Festival was. And so I looked up the eighth most photographed thing in America in 1987, and like there wasn't really any articles like there were for general photos, but as far as like the most photographed thing, but the eighth most photographed thing in 1987, when I typed that in, Reagan kept popping up. And there were no specific articles, but the one picture that of Reagan that kept coming up was when he got was when he gave a televised White House speech about MLK Jr. on January 15th, 1987.
That makes sense, but I bet also they didn't have as good of an understanding of what was the most photographed things because everything was still on film. So
that's true.
Now with everybody's phone, you can look at what the most photographed thing was by just looking online.
Totally. Last episode, we found that the Eiffel Tower was the thing that was the most photographed, like just in general.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
Yeah, makes total sense.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is that we were wondering who Ed, the guy who plays the one who tells Leslie about the generator being broken. We were like, wait, who did he play on The Office? Because it said that he was in The Office. And he was the guy who played in Counseling, in the Counseling episode. He comes in and asks for the office administrator or somebody because he's selling savings on window treatments. And that sparks Pam to be like, I'm the office administrator. And then she like freaks out because she's trying to like create her own job for herself. Yeah. And she's like, no, we're not interested at all. And so that's who that guy was. So
which character was that again?
Ed. He plays the guy who tells Leslie that the generator is broken because of all the news crews.
Oh, okay, the Harvest Festival.
And that's why, like, all of the power goes out or whatever.
Yeah.
And we were thinking maybe he played the vendor in The Office, like, because it just says vendor. And so we were like, maybe he played the guy who denies Dwight the crystal, like, wizard guy thing because he had blood on his hands and stuff. But that's not who he was.
He played
the guy that, like, comes into the office and is like, I have window treatments and I want to whatever. Is there, like, an office administrator somebody can talk to? And Pam's like, that's me.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So anyways, okay, so I just need to clear that. So now we're on Camping. Let me tell you who it was directed and written by, and then we can get into the episode. Okay, number one is that this was directed by Rob Schrab. I think I'm pronouncing that. He's a writer, actor, and producer known for The Sarah Silverman Show, Community, Rick and Morty is his big thing, which is wild. He's an Emmy Award winner. He won for Best Animated Program for Rick and Morty in 2020, and then he was nominated for the same award in 2021, maybe? Or 20? Maybe it was this year. Either way, so cool. Rick and Morty is his big thing, so that's cool. I believe he only directed one episode. I think this was his only one. And then this was written by Aisha Muharrar. I think that's how you pronounce her name. We've heard from her before. She wrote Park Safety and Kaboom, which you were in Kaboom, so that's that.
Yeah!
That's that one. And she is a producer and a writer, and a friendly reminder that she played the shop lady who works at the baby store that Anne goes to in later seasons.
Oh, okay.
So, like, remember when she's like, these are the only, Anne says, these are the only baby bibs I've seen that don't have Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s face on them.
Yeah.
And that was her playing the shop lady. And she's also known for The Good Place and Hacks on HBO, which I still need to watch. So yeah, that's what our team for today.
Okay, cool.
And now I will play Maddie's summary that she sent in so graciously. Let me go ahead and share my screen.
Good morning, Holly and Brooklyn. I am so sorry that I'm not there to chat with you guys and review this episode, but I am here to give you a summary. So we have a summary for a camping trip. I believe it might just be called camping. Chris is back as city manager after an awkward press conference where Paul, the previous city manager, has a heart attack and grabs Leslie's boob on his way down. In his first order of business, Chris wants a big idea from the Parks Department, so Leslie and the gang, plus Anne, go on a camping trip to help get their creative juices flowing. No one wants to contribute, as they expect that Leslie already has a plan, which we soon find out she doesn't. April's not happy about camping, so Andy makes a huge romantic gesture in trying to find April and the gang with his guitar, balloons, and rose petals.
Yay! So cute!
Perfect!
I love that moment of Andy and April. It's so cute. I love it.
Oh my gosh, me too. I mean, I know you said like it's not like super eventful in this episode, but I think it's like honestly like one of the funniest, most like witty episodes, and I love it so much. The writing is so good.
It is really good. It is. Yeah, I think I'm just like coming off of the Harvest Festival high where there's like 800,000 different things going on, and
yeah.
For this episode, I was like, wow. But they're still, it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this new thing. So you know how Maddie sends in notes as well? I'm doing this new thing where I'm going to set a timer for like whatever time. And whatever I'm doing, when that timer goes off, I have to play her notes.
Okay.
I'm doing this new thing because usually I'll play it like right at the end and I'm like, oh, but that wasn't fun because like, I mean, for the listener, it's fine. But for me, I'm just like, oh, but I would like to see if she said anything while I was saying it or whatever, you know?
Oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
To like incorporate them. Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
So I have so many things to say. And so I'm sorry if I'm just like talking at you, but also just like, interrupt me if you have any like thing that you want to say or like comment on, and I'll try to like pause.
Okay, that sounds perfect.
Because I have so many things before we even get to the episode because of this commentary.
Oh,
there
gosh.
Was such an amazing crew of people, and it was not your regular just actors kind of thing, which is so wonderful, but it was awesome to hear these behind the scenes people. And Mike Schur was so curious about everyone's jobs and making sure everyone spoke about what they each did and was so serious to let everyone know, like the audience, that the show would not go on without these people. And I just really loved that.
I know, that's so cool.
Yeah. So the people that were on this one was Josh Swovland, I think I'm saying that right, who is craft services guy who, you know, does all the food and the snacks and drinks and whatever. And then Doug Smith, who is a production coordinator. Allie Baldwin-Humphreys, which is the production accountant. Paul Boyson, he's the location manager. And Shauna Hagen and Tom McGill, who are our camera operators. And we've talked to Shauna before. I emailed her as soon as I heard her voice and I was like, oh my God, you're on this commentary. And it was really exciting to know that I have her email.
Yeah.
So Doug Smith, who is the production coordinator, says he does everything from setting up offices to getting internet on set or location. He does actors' contracts. Mike Schur said that everything from a light bulb is out to like there's going to be a tornado somewhere, he goes to Doug immediately, which is kind of crazy because I've always wondered what like production coordinators or like, I don't know, I think to other people, or to audience, and if you're looking on IMDb, like that's not something that is really prominent or explained. So I just like had such a good time because you know me, I was like so interested in figuring out how all these things like connect together. anyway, so like traveling, he also deals with traveling actors, rentals for like electric and camera if they're renting anything, grips. Mike Scher also said that if there's ever a charity event, like needing a signed script or something like that, Doug would be the one to go to. And on location, they on this episode in particular, which we'll talk about a lot, there was really bad weather. It was like super raining overnight and washed out the base camp, which is where all the actors have their trailers and crafty and all that stuff. And it washed out the road, like, to that little camping area. And someone called him saying that they needed gravel to rebuild the road. And he, Doug, had to find 7 to 10 tons of gravel in a short time. And what was so ironic and wild is that apparently the guy who dug out the pit behind Ann's house, like the construction company, was shooting 2 miles down the road from where Parks was shooting. And Doug called him and they got a crew to rebuild that entire road before they shot.
That's so funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Where was it filmed?
In Topanga Canyon, which is probably like 45 minutes away from California, like up in the canyony kind of. It's a little bit more open, I would say. Like there's lots of horse
ranches
and things
like that. Like outside of LA, like to the west?
Mm-hmm.
Or east,
I don't know if it's to the west. Yeah, I guess to the east, like okay, northeast, cool. I think. But yeah, and then Mike Scher just made it clear that if they hadn't got that gravel, there might not have had parts of the script or like would have had to cut certain things because they wouldn't have been able to execute it the way that they had written it. So it's just wild that these jobs we don't see like made such a huge difference.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny because, you know, just in general with camping, but also it made me think of Brett because Brett was like, without fail, no matter when we go camping, no matter if the weather says it's not going to, it always rains.
Yeah.
And there's always like some kind of storm or something.
Yeah, you always have to plan for that.
Yeah, seriously. It's crazy. So yeah, so shouts to Doug. I think we have a little bit more things to talk about him later on. But then Allie, the second assistant accountant for the production, said they had an account with this construction company that did the road and said they gave the company a purchase order, which is basically a number of how much it's going to cost and a promise to pay. So they pay it at a later date so they don't have to wait around for like a check from the bank or like for the check to clear or whatever. So it's basically kind of like the professional / production version of an IOU, which I think is really interesting. I'm sure that's used in other companies and like, you know, fields, but that wasn't something that was familiar to me. So I was really intrigued to hear that because obviously everything moves so fast in TV. So it's like, you know, they only have like a week or whatever to shoot it. So it's just like if they didn't do that immediately or get that done, it was like crazy to me that they could have just forfeited, you know?
Yeah. At this time, I guess it was still being released on NBC. So like, were they like on a deadline to get started on the next episode to release it or was it not?
Yeah. Yeah, they had to have it done within a certain amount of time. Yeah, because like if they wouldn't have had an episode to release, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought that they did like all like the filming like months before they started airing episodes.
Sometimes they do, like when we've talked about how they shoot out of order sometimes.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but this one I think was like on a time crunch.
Yeah. I mean, it did
and
look
also
really
to like
cool.
Get to the next episode and like to, you know, just make sure that the schedule's on track. I think that's what was happening.
Yeah. I mean, it did look really cool because it looked like it had recently rained. Like everything was damp in some of the scenes and the leaves were kind of wet. But I thought it looked kind of cool.
I did too. It definitely helped with the aesthetic, I feel.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, I was going to say, this is kind of random. It's not really random, but it's not super pertinent, but I just thought it was interesting that apparently they said that they had, they have an American Express card and they actually didn't use the purchase order this time. That's like what they would have normally done, but they just used the American Express. And because like all the production people have the business company cards or whatever the hell. And Allie, the accountant that was like in charge of this was like, you guys need to get me that receipt immediately so that we can do this and reimburse and all that shit, which is funny. And also what's interesting to me, I mean, I guess it makes total sense, I suppose, but NBC apparently has a no cash policy. I don't know who would be paying in cash anyway. I don't know if it's like No, I was going to say, I don't know if it's like cash when, you know how they say when you buy a house, like they're buying it in cash. That just means they have all the money in the bank. It's not actually dollar bills.
Right. Yeah.
But so I feel like I feel like in this case, they mean dollar bills, but I don't know.
I know. Yeah. That seems like a lot of money to pay for the gravel and that company to come out there.
I know. Well, I mean, maybe it was nice that like they were already 2 miles down the road right over the hill. So that was lucky.
I know. That's kind of cool. What were they filming? A couple miles down the road?
It didn't say. They didn't say what they were filming, but it's just that the construction company was working on a production that was 2 miles down the road.
That's so cool.
I know. Crazy. Yeah, they didn't say what exactly they were
Oh, okay. That's doing. Cool.
I know. So ironic, I feel.
I know.
Okay. And then I've just got two more people. So Josh was the head of the craft services. And Mike Scher asked like where he would set up for location and when he would get to work and stuff. Apparently, Josh said that he got to work around 5 a.m., which is not abnormal for a shoot, especially for craft people, because they're setting up usually before they start filming. So that everyone's like fed and coffeed before, basically.
Yeah.
But he lives in Long Beach, apparently. So, and like NBC or the usual shoot is in Studio City, which is like the heart of LA, I feel. And like in the valley, basically. Maybe not the heart of LA, but like in the valley. But this one was in Topanga, which was even further away. So he said he's up at 3:30 to get there on time.
Yeah.
A.M. Which is normal for, again, for crafty / crew people, which is insane. Also, I thought it was interesting. Mike Scher asked him what are the five, like, most popular things that he makes. Apparently, Amy Poehler loves the soup. And this was a big soup episode because they didn't say what kind of soup, but they just said soup in general because it was rainy and chilly. And she also said, they said that she also really has to have cornbread with whatever kind of soup that she has.
Yes. And Amy soup cornbread. Is just so much better with cornbread.
Yes. And apparently they said the crew loved the cornbread. And I think they've made chili and stuff as well, which would go really well with that, of course.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then they said they have like big trays of cheese and meat and bread and also coffee. Apparently everyone loves the coffee. Apparently he said he brewed 30 pots of coffee a day. There's also an espresso machine. So they got really fancy.
Yeah.
And he said it's so funny because it's so Parks and Rec, but I'm sure this happens on a lot of sets. Maybe not. I don't know. But he said that the things that people don't really eat were / without fail was always leftover was vegetables.
Yeah. Which you got to put them in a soup.
I know. That's so true. But it makes total sense because I feel like if you have like M&Ms and candy and shit and granola bars all around, like that's what you're going to probably choose instead of vegetables.
Yeah, because you've been up since 4 in the morning and you just want the sugar to help you have energy.
Oh, my God. Yes. Woo. Anyway, so shouts to Josh for keeping everyone fed.
That's cool.
Happy. And then Tom and Shauna, our camera operators, they were just talking about how there's a reminder that there's really no marks. So marks like on the ground, usually there's a mark for where actors stand for lighting and stuff. But like a documentary, they were just following people. And the whole show, you guys, is these two people. I mean, Shauna and Tom are really catching all the actors and what we need to catch and all the glances to camera and stuff like that. Shauna said that the rain was a really big issue. There was a bunch of rain on their feet and like keeping everything dry. I didn't even think about that. Like keeping all the really expensive equipment dry.
Yeah.
And then she said that the cats were in the Pasadena house, even though it was in Pasadena. The cats in the house was like really hard to like make sure you didn't step on them because there was like a bajillion cats and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And yes, this house was on location in Pasadena, California, which is where City Hall is shot. And they said the actors do block it before with the director. And so they have it worked all out before they get to set and everything, like before they're actually filming. So they have a sense of where everybody is and where each other is. So like in relation to the other camera. And
oh, okay.
It sounded like, I don't know, it just sounded like such a dance of like, you're going here, so I'm going to go there. Like, you're going to do this, so I'm going to go into your space and you're
going
to come
into
mine.
When they do the blocking, is it the director and the camera people that are doing the blocking or the actors involved in that?
Yeah, the actors are there too.
Okay, so they just like go on
usually
set and like walk around?
Yeah, usually the director's like, I want you to stand here during this scene and then you to stand here during this scene. And I guess it depends on the director. Like, I think most directors on this show, it sounded like were very open to the actors being intuitive and kind of like, where do you feel like you'd go in this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there are certain times, I think, when like, you know, on this line, you should probably move to this so you could be next to your scene partner or whatever it is.
Okay.
And so the camera operators kind of know where the actors are going to go.
Okay, gotcha.
It's like, that's the rehearsal process, like before they shoot. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
So I thought that was really interesting, but apparently there's like a lot of nonverbal communication, like kind of looking at each other and stuff, but also very much actual communication.
Yeah, like, hey, you actually need.
Yes, exactly. Shauna said that she's like yelled at Tom before. I think she was totally joking of like, your camera's in my frame or your hand's in my frame or something stupid. You know what I mean? And then for anyone who is interested in like the actual names of the camera, she said she was using Sony F800. HD XD cams. So just in case. 12-hour shoot days, which is crazy. We talked about that on Shauna's episode, which, by the way, you guys, if you haven't listened to Shauna's episode, please, please, please go back and listen to that. It is so incredible, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that, like, we just would have no idea. Or if you're interested in getting into that side of it, like, she talks so much about that. It's just insane to really remind yourself that, like, they are a character. Like,
yeah.
You just wouldn't have, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And we also talk about this on her episode too. She talked about it in the commentary that these are like 30-pound cameras, and they have them on their shoulders at least 8 hours a day. And so they kind of get, she said, like, you build up a callus and a strength kind of thing. But like, you do have to really take care of yourself. Make sure you're sitting down, you're like eating and being like well nourished for this and that kind of thing. But it just sounds insane. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. Especially if they're like doing a dance and moving around the house and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh my God. And like slipping, sliding on that mud, like for this episode, insane.
Yeah.
But Shauna said that she really liked... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, it also like seemed like there was some other scenes, too, where they had to like get inside those tents.
And maybe totally.
Like kneel down and like kind of peek in
yes.
there. And so just thinking about them doing that is crazy. Because it's hard to get in a tent anyways. Although yes. in Tom's tent, I guess they could stand up. But they still had to be in there.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, Tom's tent. Yeah, that it really reminded me of like when they're in the back of the car scenes kind of thing. They have to like squish in there.
Oh, you know? Yeah, definitely.
Crazy. Yeah, Shauna said that she loved that she got the freedom to get the shots they need without like a DP, or which is the cinematographer who kind of like is the director of photography, who kind of like make sure that you're getting the scene and the actual framing that you want. And they're also responsible a lot for like the coloring if they're doing like a really artsy kind of film or a project. But like a lot of times the DP is like, you have to get this part right. Or like, you have to do this. That needs to be on the list. But Shauna said that the DP here was kind of, which we talked to him. She mentioned him by name, Mike Trim. But I don't know. I don't know how to even phrase this, but Mike Trim just didn't really seem to care. And he didn't really have a ton of experience with this kind of thing anyway, so he was just like, yeah, you guys can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And Shauna like is more of like, okay, well, we have the freedom to do it, so she kind of created that, which is lovely. And I mean I know he had a lot to do with it, but he, when we talked to him, it was definitely vibes of like, I mean, you got it
right.
It
yeah,
really kind of weird.
It's just like outdoors and they're just like by a campfire, so
well, and also I mean, if I'm being completely honest, he didn't seem so interested in this type of project, meaning documentaries and like improv. He really had a lot of experience with like music videos and artsy kind of films, which is not Parks, which was really fascinating to me. So yeah, but anyway, that was really cool. And then for her, she said that freedom made her more invested to like get the shot that she wanted to do, and it was really intuitive.
Cool.
She also said there were 4 cat wranglers and there were about 20 cats there that day.
Oh my gosh. I was curious how many cats there actually were.
I can't even imagine. It's so insane to me. Oh my God.
I know, because I was looking through the episode. I don't think I saw like more than like 8 on a camera.
Yeah, at a time.
Yeah, one time. Yeah.
That's so funny. I know. I want to know, because we found out that Lil Sebastian came from a company called A-List Animals.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know where we got these cats from, which I'm sure it was some kind of similar place. Maybe it's the same cat that Bandit on The Office came from. Same company.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all my behind the scenes on the commentary. I might sprinkle in some later, but for now, I'm ready to get to the episode if you are.
Awesome. Yep, that sounds perfect.
Okay, cool. So this cold open of the city planner, Paul, saying that the Harvest Festival was a huge success. He's talking to all these reporters and stuff. He said that there were 80,000 people in attendance at the Harvest Festival. And they had these like lovely shots of the extras, because last week we talked about how there was like a bajillion extras, but we didn't super see a ton of them unless you zoomed out at the end, kind of, sort of, but not really.
Yeah.
And at Lil Sebastian's little circle. But I think that's what they meant. Like these shots of like them walking around, those were mostly real for the Harvest Festival.
Like the scenes with like all these people walking in like the aisles and stuff. Wow.
Yeah. They had a ton of extras for that.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's really lovely. And last week we also talked about how one guy passed out because it was so hot.
Really?
Oops. Yeah.
Wow. Was it like a 90 degree day or something?
Yeah, it was really hot. It was like 100 degrees.
Wow. I want to be able to walk around on set.
I do too.
Look at all these things.
It looks so cool.
Hershey's. I just saw the Hofbräu House logo. Oh,
I also love that they have that beautiful aerial shot again with the Fat Coaster and Sweetums and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That is such a cool.
I love that they used that again, because I was like, first of all, we need to be reminded. But secondly, that costed a lot of money. So we need to use it as much as possible.
Yeah. I love the story behind that you shared in the last episode when we were talking about it separately. God. I know. It's so cool.
It's insane.
I know.
Yeah. So he shouts out, Paul shouts out Leslie, saying like, let's get a, you know, she deserves special mention, basically. Can't wait to see what she's going to do next. And then he's having this chest pain, but he's like powering through, and you're like, what the F is going on? And then he passes out, and as Maddie said, he grabs Leslie's boob as he's going down. I love this line. That was the second most awkward way a man has grabbed my breast.
I know. I know. You're almost like, oh my God, what is like when Leslie tells all of her like dating stories.
Oh my God. Yes. I love that that's a through line of this whole show. It's so funny. Oh my God. I love also that this newspaper that she holds up says, did you receive the headline? It says, Nope, Grope is last hope.
Oh, from the Pawnee Sun.
Yes. Which is so hilarious, because she comes up with those headlines all of the time. So I'm like, it's just so funny. I wonder if she called in and was like, you should use this as a headline.
I know. It's so funny. And before that, it's so funny. Like everybody's facial expressions is so awesome in the audience. But April's like staring straight at the camera.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. I love that.
I know.
And then she announces that they're going on a camping retreat tomorrow. Ben's face, I don't know if you noticed, you'll see it as you're going through. Brooklyn likes to have the show up, which that proved helpful last episode. I should maybe do that from now on. But anyway, Ben's face is so like disgusted and over it almost when she says you're going camping. He's like, okay, I don't know why we need to do this almost. There's like a subtext. I don't know if he meant to do that, but it happened.
I know. Well, then poor thing. He said he hates camping later on. And I was like, no.
I know. But also he's kind of being a butt about it. I don't know.
I know.
I'm like, bitch, I understand this isn't your thing, but like make the most of it.
Did you also see that mosaic behind April?
Yeah, that's the one that Leslie made on Galentine's Day.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Isn't it so cute?
It is so cute. I can't.
That might have been a deleted scene, or no, maybe not.
I don't remember her making mosaics of people, but maybe.
It could have been a deleted scene then. I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll have to go back and watch that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that was like the first or second Galentine's Day that she made mosaics of everybody's faces.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, love that you caught that though, and that they put that up there so they can actually use it. It's so cute that April like has that displayed.
I know, that's awesome.
Yeah. So then she says they're leaving at 6:45.
I know, that's gross. So
early. Ew. Do you think that it's on a work day? Or do you think it's...
I wondered that. I wondered if they would like mention it. Maybe it's like a work sanctioned event that they're going to leave. I don't know. I don't remember if they ever really said it was like a weekend or anything like that.
I know. I feel like I'd imagine that it would be like on a Friday, maybe a Thursday or Friday.
But like the next day.
Oh, yeah.
They're waiting for her at a meeting. So I wonder if it is like a weekday, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it's a Thursday or something night and then the meeting is on Friday. Or yeah.
Yeah,
no,
maybe.
It couldn't have been. Okay. So this is so stupid. But if they're at work the day before and the next day, it would be Wednesday, right? Because she's like, tomorrow is the thing. Is when we're going
camping. Oh, yeah. So it would have to be like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
Or, yeah, it had to have been a work day is basically.
Right, yeah. So this was like an official work retreat.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because I don't know. Yeah, it had to be on that. Yeah. It had to have been Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Yeah, mandatory fun.
Yeah, exactly. So she says that this camping trip, just as a reminder, which everyone kind of knows, but basically this is so they can think of some really big ideas, because we need another idea to pull people in after the Harvest Festival. It was like amazing and so successful, but we need to find another way to bring in revenue and to just like build on this momentum we have. She has all her binders, and Ron's like, you know what, you should probably just tell us your idea and so we can be done and we don't have to do this ever. And she's like, no, I can't do that. And then little do we know that she doesn't have a plan, so she can't do that anyway.
Yeah, I know. I think it's so funny that they also said that he had an octuple bypass. I've never heard of that.
Oh my God. I have such a note on that. I will tell you in a moment. I'll tell you right now. So Tom's making a joke about scaling the cliff and having to hold on to Leslie's boob. And he said, Paul, the city planner. Oh, she said, because April's like, you know, her boob kills or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Leslie's like, Paul did not die. He had a heart attack that required an octuple bypass. And then she even says, like, the doctor said, like, if he didn't grab on, he would have died. But oh my God, I did the same thing. I was like, octuple? Are you serious? That's insane. And I did not find a surgical octuple bypass. But oh my God, Brooklyn. I Googled octuple bypass, and the only thing that came up was an octuple bypass burger at the Heart Attack Grill in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
It is an actual restaurant called Heart Attack Grill. This burger, called the Octuple Bypass Burger, has 20,000 calories.
What?
Let me tell you what is in it, okay? Oh my God, get ready. 8 burger patties, okay, which is basically 4 pounds of meat.
Oh my God.
Look it up. Google it as I'm talking about it. I'll post it in the stories as well, but I just want you to see it now. Okay, 8 patties, 4 pounds of meat, basically. 40 pieces of bacon, chili, and cheese.
Oh my
it
God.
Is a foot and a half tall. It has enough calories in it to last a normal human being about 10 days. It is cooked in lard, and the onions that's on it, if you get onions on it, are cooked in lard too. This should not be legal, I feel.
This is Ron's place.
This is totally Ron's place.
Yeah. Also, okay, there's no way you could even bite into that. You have to like
cut it somehow or do something. Oh yeah. My God.
This is so a dude quadruple named bypass.
No, it's octuple.
Oh my God.
What do you mean quadruple bypass? That's what the burger's called?
Yeah, this is what it said. Quadruple. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong one.
Octuple bypass burger.
So crazy.
Is it at the Heart Attack Grill?
So nuts.
Yeah, it's called octuple. I don't know where you're saying quadruple. Oh, there is. Okay, so there's 4 apparently. The Heart Attack Grill has a single, double, triple, quadruple bypass burger. And then the octuple is the biggest one.
Oh my God.
Insane.
That is
so
crazy.
A dude named Matt Stoney is a competitive eater, and he finished it in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. What?
That is nuts. Oh my God.
I did look up the octuple surgery, though, and the highest I could find was a quintuple.
Yeah, I don't even think that there are that many, like, arteries.
Yes, for people that don't know, like me, which is stupid, and I should know because everyone at home has had one, the bypass is basically where you have blocked arteries. So a quintuple is where you have 5 blocked arteries, and 8 would be, you know, 8.
I don't even think there are 8.
I know. Well, I was going to say, so basically the quintuple one is where there is 5 arteries to your heart, basically, right?
I think so. I don't think there's 8.
Yeah, right. So they must have made that up somehow.
Yeah, I love it. It's hilarious.
I know.
Also, I'm really surprised that burger is only $21. Like, what is
it? Is it really?
It says for $21.28. So
what?
I don't know. Okay, wait, that was in 2015. So accounting for inflation, maybe it's like $40 right now.
That seems like like a big price to pay for your death.
That is, I was thinking, I was like, okay, that's a lot of meat on there. That's got to be pretty expensive.
I don't understand how that guy ate it in 4 minutes. I feel like I'd be throwing up all over the place.
Yeah, he's like a competitive eater, I guess.
Yeah, I would love to understand like how you prep for that or how your body handles that. That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Competitive eaters are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know.
Woo! So anyway, if anyone would like to try that, let me know if you do and we'll have a moment. Okay.
Yeah.
So Chris jogs in and says that the mayor asked him to step in as city manager because Paul is going to be recovering from this octuple bypass. And in his little talking head, he says Pawnee is literally the greatest town in the country. And this is where I noticed, I think, my... I guess, first of all, that his literallys are more prominent than ever. But secondly, this is where I start to notice that every single one of his sentences that say literally are different things. So he never says the same literally twice because he says Indianapolis is the most wonderful city in America. And so there's still, so he called Indianapolis a city. He called Pawnee a town.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's like, I don't know if they're doing that on purpose, but it just seems like that is so important to make sure that all of his sentences are truthful and genuine and he's not just like blowing smoke. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, he runs out and he says that everyone says hydration packs, and he runs out and it's just like hydration packs. I bet that was improv'd as he ran out.
I know. I also like in the scenes with him, you can see all like huge phone books and it just takes me back. Like, this is really
good.
Because I'm like, no one uses phone books anymore.
I know. That is, yeah, old tech, basically. Mm-hmm. I like that Nick Offerman or Ron says, I most certainly am not, when he says that everybody's their hydration packs.
What does he say? R2.
Yeah, Ron. And then he punches him. R2. Yeah. It's so funny. Let's see. Oh, so Amy Poehler does this great job of this like little look to camera when he's talking about like, I know you have a great idea, and Ron is talking about it too. And maybe I wouldn't have caught it if I didn't see it 100 times, or if I didn't know the ending. But I thought that you could really, she did such a good job of telling like, telling the audience kind of, or hiding a little bit that the pressure is on and she's nervous and she's just like, oh my God, like hopefully I do have a good idea.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was awesome. Okay, so I'm moving on to the shoeshine stand. Do you have anything to say before that?
Nope.
Okay. Andy's laughing hysterically because our friend Kyle, who we've also talked to, his name is Andy Forrest. You guys should definitely go listen back to that episode. Maybe I'll do like a little, like over Thanksgiving or Christmas, maybe I'll do like a little like glossary or index of like people we've talked to so you guys can go back and listen to these episodes because they're so intriguing when, and like if you know all the backstory and like then you hear them like in like a 5 second scene like Kyle, it's really, it brings so much more to it.
But, yeah, that'd be cool.
Thank you. So Kyle says his identity was stolen and his accounts were frozen, and Andy just like is laughing hysterically at this, and he just like thinks it's the most funny thing ever in the whole world, and it's so dumb.
Poor thing. He probably doesn't have a bank account right now.
I know. Oh my God.
He's like, what are these made up terms?
Yeah, what does this even mean? Oh my God. Kyle does such a good job of being so like Eeyore about it, you know?
Yeah.
Ugh. But so then this is where April walks up because Andy's like, tell April what you're talking about. And April says she has to go camping on this retreat and she's super mad about it because she hates camping. But Andy's like, oh my God, I love camping. It's the best. And so he says he's going to make her love it. And either way, there will be a ton of making out because they'll either make out and like it or won't like it and we'll still make out, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think it's so cute, though. That's such a cute moment of Andy being like, I want to share like,
I know.
Passion
I wrote
and, like,
that too.
Fun with you.
Andy is so cute in this scene.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And he really works hard, as you can see. I mean, he's such a like, you know, little Eeyore, or not Eeyore, sorry. I was just, that's still in my mind from Kyle. But he's such a little like puppy dog about it.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And like,
it is.
Dumb, but okay, so Chris walks up and sees Ann Perkins. Ann's coming in to talk to Leslie, and she immediately like talks about her hair and is like, I didn't do this because of you, because of her dyed like streak.
I love her red hair. Well, I mean, it's like classic like break up and they get bangs.
Yes, absolutely.
Break up and dye your hair. And
break
I
up
love
makeover.
Ann's red hair.
I didn't too, actually. I think she's killing it with it.
I think it looks kind of cute.
I do, too. Then she has this like super mega awkward moment of like, he says, you look, or she, he's like, okay, well, it looks great. And she's like, well, yeah, you look great, Emma, right? And she just gets so awkward. He makes it worse because he does make it worse because he's so nice and like generous and tells her it's nice to like meet her or like see her there. And it's like good to run into her. And I totally see where Anne is coming from as far as like, you know, feeling confused about him.
Yeah, totally. Especially like later on when they go to the diner. I'm just like,
yeah. Oh my god, I wanted to punch him in the head.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm on Anne's side here.
Me too. Oh my god, hate her. I mean him, sorry.
I know.
Him. Love her. Yeah, and then he says, I'd love to catch up. And she says, yeah, me too. Ketchup and mustard. And then they do this whole relish and salsa your face situation.
I really like super awkward. I don't know if they ad-libbed that part or if that was in the writers, but they did a really good job because, like, you know, Anne is always so awkward with like her jokes and stuff. Uh-huh. So I felt like this line for her was really good. And then Chris was just like, oh, okay.
I'll smile along. I'm sure that was the writers. That had to have been. That seems like such a witty thing for
so
them
good.
To have come
I loved
with.
It. I laughed out loud at that line. So
I know. I like it too, especially the relish your wit. I don't know why. I thought that was great.
Yeah, because Chris is like, okay, that makes sense, but I salsa your face. Like, it makes no sense.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, and then that leads her to talking to Leslie about how she gets crazy when she sees Chris, and she's like, what do you think get together soon means? And she's doing that thing where she's like making way more of a big deal than it needs to be because of his tone and his like kindness, and she's like, I swear his face lit up. And Leslie's like, I love that she's great. Leslie's great about like, okay, let's cut the shit.
Yeah,
do not read into this. This is
but
him
his face
dumb,
did and also, light up.
His face did light up, but to be fair, his face always lights up because he's fucking crazy. He's a human Christmas tree.
That's true. He's a human Christmas tree, yes.
Yeah. I'm really proud of myself for coming up with that on the spot because he kind of is.
I know, he is.
I guess I didn't really come up with it because the writers wrote face lit up. But anyway, yeah, I love this too. Leslie suggests she go camping with them, which I'm glad that they had this line in there kind of because a part of me, I don't know if you felt the same, a part of me was just like, why is Anne there? Which again, we talk about all that, we've talked about this before, where it's just like, why is she at the parks stuff again?
Because like, Leslie's there.
She doesn't work there. But yeah, no, totally. She's just being friendly and Leslie is like, get your mind off of it, which doesn't even work anyway, because it's really nice that Anne is a good friend when Chris is like, what's your idea? And Anne's like, let's go talk for a second. You know what I mean? And kind of distracts him.
Yeah.
I also love this sign that we see on in camping where she says, or it says we Pawnee camping, and it's in the Wamapoke County Forest. I really liked that.
I like it too. It looks like the old fashioned national park signs.
Yeah. And I also really appreciated, I didn't know that Wamapoke was the county. I knew that the Wamapokes were there, but I didn't know that was
yeah,
the county.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. We learned about the county. That's true.
Yeah.
So. I really liked the headline on the thing that she has on her desk behind her where it says Harvest Festival.
Oh my God, I missed that.
And it says the town coffers are overflowing after the Harvest Festival, and I was like, yay, Anne.
Brooklyn, or, yay, that's Leslie. So cute.
I know.
Will you take a picture of that so I can post it and I can see it?
Yeah, I will. I know. I was like, oh,
you can't take
this.
A screenshot, I don't think, because it'll turn black because of the streaming services not wanting you to, like, copy their shit. But I think you can use
I bought all of these episodes, so I have them on.
You did?
Downloaded. Yeah, I have the whole, I have that the whole is hilarious. Series downloaded on my computer and my phones.
My God. Well, I still don't know if you can do it because I feel like I've tried to do that when I've watched the DVDs because I've bought them too, obviously, but for the DVD stuff. But whatever, we'll find it. That's so cute, though. I love that. And that gives us such great context for why and like the pressure because Leslie has all these ideas, but she says that Chris wants it to create revenue. And that's a really huge part of it. So when they say the coffers thing, I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense.
Right. I know. I thought about that too when I was like, oh, that's so cool. I couldn't figure out, I was looking at the binder numbers and like, I feel like Leslie would absolutely color code these, but I can't figure out like a rhyme behind the reason. Like I thought maybe it was like 1 through 10 was a color, like, you know, 11 through 20 was a color, but I couldn't figure that out. They're just like red, green, yellow, and blue. And it doesn't seem like any reason, like not even all the odd ones or even ones are a specific color. So I wonder if like she maybe has like maybe each idea binder is
yeah.
a different type of idea.
That's what I was thinking as you were saying that. I was going to say, like, I wonder if each one is like, this is a big idea, or this is an idea that has like animals in this way, or something stupid, you know, her own little system.
Yeah, I know. I know. I
That's fascinating.
That. I didn't know if they said anything behind the scenes on that.
No, but they should. If Amy Poehler was there, she probably would have. But
I know. I was also going to ask you too. On her desk, there's like, I just noticed this like weird picture. I think it's Leslie, but she's got this like sideways kind of glance.
Is it the graduate? She's wearing a...
picture. That's right. It does look like she's wearing...
she's wearing a hat.
A cap.
Graduation hat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I don't know that I... Oops, my chair is squeaking. I don't know if I know the exact behind-the-scenes story of that, but that's a real picture of her.
Oh, it looks so cute.
It might have been from Boston University, I think, or Boston College. She went to a school in Boston. I can't remember where it was.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and that stays there. That's been there for like two seasons. It's crazy. And so cute.
Oh my gosh, it is cute. Yeah. Yeah, the rest of the...
And then do you see the owl, too?
I think
it's not a picture. It's just like a little signature. I don't know why she loves so many owls. Like, who decided that? Because she has a lot of owl trinkets, I feel.
I know. I love it, too. I like the owls.
It's cute.
I think I do remember seeing it. I can't find it right now, though. But
okay. It's there. And then there's another one, like, kind of like on the side of something. Almost looks like it's poking out or something.
Yeah.
Aww. It's precious. And then
precious.
She does have a picture. I don't know what if it gets taken down ever, but she also has that picture of Larry Bird that Tom apparently signed.
Oh,
she thinks that Larry Bird signed it.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just noticed there's a couple little things in the background.
Yeah.
I'll try to send you a screenshot of that.
Okay. Cute. If not, I'll find it too. But yeah, since you have it. Okay, so Paul Boyston, who was the location manager that we were talking about that was on the commentary earlier, was basically told, like, okay, they're going camping. This is what the script says. And then that's it. Like, he had to figure out where they were going to try to shoot. So they started looking in the mountains and, like, outside of California, too. But they had to stay in the 30-mile zone, basically, because of the budget.
Okay.
Which makes sense. So like I said, this campground is in Topanga, which is like super canyony. And what's weird to me slash like awesome to me, I guess, is that this one didn't look like California. It looked like there were lots of foresty type trees and like actual leaves and trees that would be in Indiana, I feel. Because like when I think Topanga and just like California, like forest, I suppose, I think of Northern California, like what you're seeing in here. But when I think of like Topanga, I think of like desert. And
yeah,
because that's kind of what it is, at least those short amount of times that I've been there. So I thought that was a really great thing that they found that. And I mean, they're good at it, because we've talked about before how they're doing when they do outside shots, like on the streets and stuff like that, they find like the one street that doesn't have palm trees, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So that you can really make it be Indiana. But anyway, Paul, the location manager, like I said, said that it's a mixture of Mike Schur and Morgan Sackett, who's the producer, and him finding the locations of these places. And he confirms, like, says, like, yeah, that'll be great. Or he, like, takes the fall if it's bad. He was kind of joking around. But basically, like, Mike Schur tells Morgan Sackett what they need and what they're looking for. And then they tell the location manager and Paul. And the people that work for him, like, drive around and try to find these locations. And they kind of research. And they actually physically go to the places and make sure that it's going to work for what the script says and for the ideas that they have. And they said that since they've been doing it for so long, like since Paul has been in this business and doing this particular job for 100 years, like they already have advanced like ideas in advance. Like they kind of already know ideas of where they could shoot. But the thing that they said complicates it is that sometimes they'll have to shoot two things or two locations in one day, and so those locations need to be really close to each other so they can finish everything they need to do in one day. So like timing is kind of a big you know, obstacle. But also Mike Scher was saying that one of the biggest things is permit problems. They have to have legitimate permits to film at all these places. And so sometimes they can't get it in time because, as we know from this show, how ironic that is, that permits take 100 years sometimes. So like sometimes they said that certain places you can only shoot between like this time and this time. And but they'll need it outside of that time frame or whatever. And they also said sometimes the, so I think we did this for Anne's house, but that's an actual house and someone actually lives there. And so sometimes they will literally, I don't think it was a joke, but sometimes they'll literally drive around and walk up to someone's house and be like, hey, we want to shoot at your house. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
And they are compensated. They're told that they're going to be paid for it, which is great. And most people, he said, are like super like excited about it and want to do it. But I thought that was interesting because I don't think I knew that. Like, I knew that, you know, they use real people's houses, but I wouldn't have expected that they would just like, knock on the door.
Right.
I'm sure, like, now maybe they find a phone number or like put something in their mailbox or something. But I feel like the way that it moves so fast, they knocking on the door might not be a bad idea.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's really cool. Well, they did a really good job with the scene. I think it looks very foresty.
It looks so good. So I would love to know which actual forest they use. But I mean, knowing it's in Topanga, I'm sure we could find it somewhere.
Yeah.
I thought they would have maybe used the location that they used for the hunting trip.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that would have been easy.
That was a good
but
one. Yeah.
Something must have happened where they didn't use that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it didn't have the space. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, apparently the thing that sold it to him was that there are a bunch of cabins in these woods. And I don't know, like, I guess like that was the aesthetic, I feel, but at the same time they didn't show the cabins.
Right.
So
yeah.
I don't know really why he mentioned that or brought that up. Maybe they could stay there in the cabins or like set up in those cabins.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good
idea. So that's the behind the scenes on that.
That's cool. Well, I really love Leslie's hairstyle in these camping scenes.
Oh yeah. Doesn't she have pigtails in one?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
So I love her like hairstyle, and I love her like little fishing flies on her vest, and she just looks so cute.
I know. I thought so too. I wrote down actually that I love those jackets, like the big puffer jackets with the Pawnee logo on the pocket thing.
I know. I love that. Whoever was doing like costumes or clothing, like they did a really good job.
I know. I've reached out to Kirsten Mann, who is the costume designer for this show. I think seasons 4 and up, maybe 3. I need to really make a concerted effort to ask her if she's free now, because I think she was busy before.
Oh yeah, but, yeah.
I know.
And she did such a good job, and like all the flannel. And I also I was just kind of like scrubbing through like to catch up to where we were, and I totally missed this the first time, but like, you know, Ron is there and he's like whittling a stick with like a hatchet.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize in the back he like literally constructed a lean-to. Like with like wood, and it's like not
what?
A tent. Like he made his own. You know how like when they do the like Pawnee goddesses camping, and he gives them a tarp in a box, and it's like, this is like the thing that you can
this
make.
This is what you have to do.
He literally like made, or someone made, it's just like all of these branches and put a tarp over this thing that he can like lay in.
Oh my god! That's crazy.
I know.
I'm looking at it now too. Cause I mean, that's such a like cool character thing for Ron to have done.
Wait.
Hang on. I see where he's whittling.
It's at 5:04. It's like such a short scene, but I'm like, it's elaborate, and he's got it like,
oh my,
connected
god.
With twine.
Oh, I see it. It's so fast, Brooklyn.
Like, I wondered what he was doing with all these like little sticks throughout
pieces.
The episode. And I thought maybe
he's just going to stab some fish or something.
That's what I thought. Yeah. But then I just saw this structure he's building.
Because he has that line of fishing relaxes me. It's like yoga, but I get to kill something. Oh,
yeah.
My. And behind, it's so funny. Wait. Oh, my God. At 5:02, right before that, when he has this talking head, you see Leslie and Anne trying to put the tent
together. Yeah, they are. And Larry is like doing something
it's
with like a
so
fishing
funny.
Pole.
That, Brooklyn, I swear to you, that thing when he when they show that wood thing is literally a millisecond.
It is.
That is
insane. Kind of see it when I back up to like around like right around 5.
Because they do the swinging thing. Yeah. Shauna or Tom or whoever like are looking at Ron and they swing quickly. But they pan.
Right. And then he's in a different position. But I can see where he's building his little shack, his little lean-to thing. Oh, my gosh.
Great catch, Brooklyn. I don't know why that was so fascinating.
I know, me too. God. I just...
Because it's so intricate and you don't even see
it. It's so true. Yeah.
Oh, I guess you do kind of see it a little bit behind him. He's got like a bunch of... Right. Okay. He's... I see. And he's got his little lamp.
He's camouflaged.
Wait, do you see it? Okay, I'm so sorry for the audience that's not watching this, but at 5 minutes and 20 seconds, I almost feel like they might have shot this like out of order or something, because like 5 minutes 20, he still has all the sticks on the ground with the rope, but there's nothing behind him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, wait, there's a little bit. You can see the edges of it.
The vertical poles. Oh, so maybe it's just he had it further back behind the tree. Okay.
Yeah. And he's
there's like a lantern hanging on
it. Yeah. And he's like constructing it throughout these, like, as everybody else is setting up their tents, he's like literally building the shack.
That is amazing. Oh my God.
And then, like, at 5:24, you can see he's still shaving it.
Yeah, he's still doing it. Wow. Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. That was amazing.
You're right. That is a really good like character thing for Ron. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Wow. It's so deep, so much deeper than you think it is. You're just like, it's Ron. He's whittling.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But he's literally building a shelter. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Thank you for that detour. I loved that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my God. That was really fun. Yeah. I just noticed that. You're right. And everybody has their own kind of like camping setup.
Yeah, totally. Did you notice, too, that when Ron's talking about fishing, I wrote this down. Well, first of all, he's like, okay, let's do this. Let's get to brainstorming, because he wants to go fishing first. And his tackle box is so rusty and gross looking and like old. And I love it. I feel like that is so him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like he found it at like a surplus store or something. Like buried underground.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh my gosh,
okay,
so
I'm putting like I'm highlighting certain things so people I can post this in the story.
And so everybody's setting up their tent, and then I have a note with like poor Ben is like, he says he's sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's called the ground.
I love that part.
He's being such a Debbie Downer, though. He's like, I don't want to spend $150 on a tent because I never go camping. Why didn't you ask somebody, like, can I bunk with you? Or
I know.
You can get cheaper ones than that, sir.
Seriously.
Or you can sell it afterward. I don't know. But I understand, I guess. It's whatever.
Oh,
it's
Holly, if you do research the place, in the background at 513, there's, like, a little post, like a camp marker that says number 9.
What?
So if you ever get to go walk around
Topanga.
I know.
Wait, at 513 you said?
Yeah.
I don't see it.
515.
Oh, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. It's behind Ben, right?
Yeah.
There's a little 9 on it. Okay.
Unless they put that there as part of the set, which they probably really could have. But
they could have. I doubt it, though. Yeah, I bet there's some trails and shit behind there.
Yeah, so next time we go, we can explore. If somebody lives in LA, they can go check it out for us.
Absolutely. I mean, this just looks so good. I mean, it really does. The more I'm staring at it, the more I'm like, this can't be California, or at least like Southern California. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or maybe it's like close-up views, and so if we looked up, maybe there would be a palm tree in there.
I don't know. It just looks so good. I'm sure it's real.
I know.
Anyway, okay. Oh my God, that was great. I love that. So now we're at Tom. Do you have anything before that, though?
No, I'm at Tom, too. And I tried making a list of, like, everything that I saw that was
stupid and ridiculous.
I did,
too. I did, too. I want to hear yours. So, first of all, before we go through the list, he got all the shit from Sky Mall. He's doing some serious glamping here. Huge tent moment. But, yeah, okay. What do you have on your list?
It's probably not as long as yours, but the ones that really stuck out to me was, like, little pool table that he has. Like,
oh, my God. No. No, Brooklyn, I only put a list of the things that he actually said out loud.
Oh,
so
okay.
You probably found some shit like outside of that.
Well, he has this little like foldable, collapsible pool table.
What?
By,
I don't even where.
$5.29. It's by his little outdoor like hammock thing.
Oh my God, I see it.
And then he has this like really nice looking telescope. Like that's a nice telescope that he has set up.
I noticed the fan.
Oh yeah,
it's just so crazy. Is that a little caught Brooklyn, like a hammock situation?
Yeah.
Next to the, okay.
That's yeah, he has this little like hammock thing set up in addition to this bed inside of his tent.
Oh my God. Yeah,
and then I thought his bug zapper thing was hilarious too.
Like, oh my God. Yeah, right outside of his thing.
Yeah, he also set up to the thing behind the fan is like this special little tent that you can set up a bathroom in.
So oh, like a, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, so that's like a little toilet that he set up. Because just some like longer camping stuff I saw, like that is like a type of tent that you can pack with you for like shower, bathroom. Okay. And I noticed
Brooklyn is a huge camper audience. I mean, we go camping, but Brooklyn and Brett do more camping than I will.
I know, so, but then you could actually see there's like toilet paper hanging out of this little thing.
What?
And I'm like, what are they even? They're not that far. They're right at the entrance. Like there's bathrooms right there. So why did
he he's a boy. Oh, I see the toilet paper. Brooklyn, these are phenomenal catches. I did not notice that.
At 529, right where he's like in front of everything.
Oh my God.
It's really funny. So before you even go into the tent.
I cannot believe that.
I know.
That is so funny. But, and then he has like hiking sticks or like, did you see those leaning against the wall behind the TV thing?
Oh, no, I'm not. I hadn't gotten into. I saw the inside the tent. Oh,
okay. You're trying that.
Oh, yeah. His
now.
Hiking, his trekking poles. And he also has a tennis racket in there. Oh a lint roller.
Yeah, I saw the lint roller, too. This oh bed looks so nice.
I know. Like, what? He this is like a glass topped, like, TV stand. Like, it's.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I really want that ice cream maker.
Oh, my gosh. That looks so cool. Like, I want that in my house.
Me too.
I know. And then like the huge massage chair, like
yep.
It barely even fits in there.
Oh my God.
I think
he
I
says
space
he has
heater too.
An Xbox. Oh, I bet he does.
Which is like really dangerous.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God. Yeah, he's got the Xbox in there, DJ Roomba.
Yes.
He also he like talks about closet. The dog couch. What?
Yeah, it's like he makes like, you know, those little stands in your room and he has like hangers yeah. and like five different jackets laying at the end of his bed. Like, why do you
oh
need
oh my
all-
God. Oh, I see that. I see that. I do see that.
But yeah, you were saying the
this
dog
is like
bed.
A game of I Spy.
It is. I agree.
I see that. I see the coats and stuff. This, mind you, everyone slash to myself, this is one day. Yeah. One day, not even a full day. I mean, I guess.
But this is
technically
where I'm saying,
it is a full
like,
day. Yeah.
Shauna and the other camera person, like, just have to like scan around and get all of this stuff on camera yeah. along with him.
That is crazy.
I know. It's so crazy.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Do you have anything else though?
No, I think that's everything I had on there. But I do like that he had the dog bed as well too. That was
yes.
really creative. Of
it's
him.
Actually a dog bed or dog couch, but it's pretty comfortable. Yeah. Love that so much. Oh my God, I'm so happy that you like brought all those things up and that I had the episode up as well.
I
Everyone
know,
will
it
need
is so
to-
fun. It's so crazy.
Oh my God, it's insane. Yes. I mean, that's just like again, it just goes to show how freaking detailed everything is in this.
I know,
it's insane.
It really is. I know. I know. And then now I'm at Andy.
Okay,
dancing
before
around.
We get there. I know. Oh my God, which is so cute. Before we get there, though, that song is playing because he obviously has DJ Roomba. He's at that song. It's like "Last Call for Alcohol." That's been playing at Snake Hole sometimes.
Yeah,
I could not for the life of me find that song, that particular song. There's 800,000 songs that are called "Last Call for Alcohol" or have that lyric in there, but for whatever reason, I could not find this particular song. I even looked up like soundtrack for Parks and Rec, and it wasn't on there. Oh. So I do not know where in the hell it came from.
Yeah, I wonder if like Sony just like made that little jingle for parts.
I don't.
Like, is it a real song?
I don't know. I even like looked up "Last Call for Alcohol" Parks like song or whatever, but maybe it is. Maybe it's a original for Parks.
Yeah, who's to say? I don't know. That's a good question.
But anyway, so I thought that was a cute little detail because we've heard that song before, and it really could be one of those. Maybe it is so they can play it multiple times or something. I don't know.
Is it just called anyway. Last Call?
I don't know. I played a bunch of the songs that came up on Google. So.
Did you play the one by Khaled?
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be the one, but maybe I didn't listen to the
oh
full thing.
Oh my God,
thing.
That's so loud.
Sorry, there's too much noise happening. Can you hear that?
Okay. Oh my God! It's time for Maddie's notes.
Yay! Okay.
Okay. Okay, let me go ahead and share with you Maddie's notes.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Maddie's notes.
Okay, it's me again. I am here to give some thoughts. So I was very excited to hopefully be there for this recording, but I have some thoughts that I wanted to share with you guys and all the Park Pals out there. So bear with me. I have a couple notes here. The boob thing in the beginning when Paul grabs onto Leslie's boob, to me, it's a callback to The Office because I don't know if you guys remember, but I believe it's season 6 when they do a company picnic and Pam and Jim have a talking head and says, she points to her breasts and says, you don't use these for balance. And Jim says, well, but that for me was like a callback here because Paul is using Leslie for balance, basically. So just a side note there.
Lots of boob holding going on in these Mike Schur, Greg Daniels shows. What the hell, guys?
I love Ron trying to like have everybody just come up with an idea now so he can go camping by himself. I'm April, I'm sorry to say, because I know you guys like camping. I am not a big camping person. I don't hate it for the same reasons, because I love the stars. I love being out in the middle of nowhere and being able to see the stars. But there's just, I think if I was camping during the day and didn't have to sleep there, I think I'd be much more about it, because I love being out in nature and I love hiking. But yeah, I can't. I don't know what it is. And I didn't have a great experience of camping when I was a kid. So that could definitely be part of it. But so I'm kind of on the April side of things. And Ben, which I'll get to in a second.
And Ben. Yeah, because I was going to say before she said that, I'm glad that I let her finish, obviously, because she had told me about like a bad experience that she had one time. I was like, that's why you don't like it. We need to go like have a good time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And also, I feel like she is so not alone. I've heard from multiple people that they would prefer to sleep at home and then like spend the whole day or like sleep somewhere that's not in a tent, perhaps.
Okay, maybe. So they're renting out the cabins next door.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And also like when with camping too, we can totally have it be like middle ground. Like there is such a thing as a gray area. It doesn't have to be super primitive. It can be like kind of a glamping situation. Like between primitive and between Tom's shit.
Yeah, exactly. I know. That's true.
I mean, we got air mattresses, like you and me have like whiskey, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like we got
right.
shit going on. Lights. It's comfortable. Although I will say I do need to get a better like sleeping pad because I would prefer that more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I need like a blow up mattress.
Sometimes my back hurts. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. Here we go.
Chris and Anne, they're running when Chris is back in the office. And Anne, why does she have to point out that she didn't do the hair for him? Like, that just makes it so obvious.
I know.
And this whole like ketchup and mustard, like he frazzles her so much. Like, it makes me so uncomfortable for Anne. The way that Rashida acts it out, just... it's perfect for giving you the feeling of like, oh, fuck, this is so awkward. My favorite line of the episode is, it's like yoga, except I still get to kill something. So that will be my 100%. That's my favorite line. I feel like I'd like that so encompasses like why I played rugby. It was like my yoga. Mm. But I got to tackle something. So it was fun for that reason. Here's where I'm about Ben, with the whole spending money. If I don't like something enough, I'm not gonna pay a bunch of money to be ready to be comfortable one time. I would rather, if I was gonna go out and go camping and I was gonna have to sleep out there, I wouldn't be spending, you know, $200 on a tent and a really nice sleeping bag or a blow up mattress. Like I'd just be like, I'm gonna suck it up and I'm just gonna, it's not worth spending money on for me. So I get where he's coming from too.
I don't think that she would be like Ben, though. I mean, Maddie, when you hear this, you can correct me, but I don't think you would be like a butt about it, hopefully, or you would be like, I'm just going to sleep out here randomly amongst the elements. I would just imagine that Maddie would be on a budget and that's it.
Or she would just be like, hey, Holly, can we share a tent?
Or that's what I was going to say. Or she could do what I literally said earlier
like and
just
sleep Leslie in my did. Tent.
Yes. Oh my God.
Because Anne didn't have her own tent either. She just shared with Anne, with Leslie.
Which is exactly our aesthetic. She is Anne and I'm Leslie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh okay, got it. Thank you so much. I do respect the budget and the non liking of camping though. I understand. Okay.
I know. I wish there was better like camping rentals and stuff like that around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I wonder? I bet a lot of campsites do have the rentals if you wanted to, probably.
Yeah, REI does rentals too.
Oh, okay. Maddie.
I know. There's got to be one in Phoenix.
Maddie. Or near. Maddie. Okay, here we go.
I wanted to ask you guys how you feel about Tom and kind of because he says that he returns everything, right? I have a friend who once got a dress. They wore it to a function and then they took it back. I don't know about you guys. Like, tell me how you feel. If you feel different, obviously, that's totally fine. But I feel so icky about that for me personally. Just if I'm going to wear it, I'm going to take the tag off and it's mine now. So I feel really icky about Tom doing that with all this stuff. He also has so much stuff that's not necessary. Like, he could have done with the bed and the TV and that's it. But he has that frozen yogurt machine and everything, like all the other stuff on top of it as well. So, it's just like he always has to go above and beyond.
I don't know. I don't mind returning it if you're literally only going to wear it once, like if it's for an event, I suppose. But I am, I guess, on the same page as far as like me personally. I haven't ever done that. I'd like to. And I actually think it's nice for like headshot sessions or something where you're literally only wearing it for an hour and then you're never going to wear it again. But for me, I guess it's different in my headspace because I'm like, if it's a headshot, then I'll probably want to wear that for some auditions too and like make the most out of it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely sleazy what Tom does. Sleazy Tom, hello.
Right, yeah. But, with the amount, you know,
like that's
stuff,
not
yeah, moral. It takes a special person to be willing to buy all that stuff and then lie to be like, oh yeah, can you just let me return all this stuff and cry about it?
Well, yeah, I was going to say the gross, icky, like, I want to punch you in the head thing for me was when he cries and he's like, meh, and I'm just like, oh my God, you're such a dumbass. Have you ever done that though? Have you ever returned something that you just bought for like one thing?
I think I have for like a jacket or like a dress or something. Mm. And then like, yeah. I don't know. That's why I really like Rent the Runway. That's nice.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
But like buying all of this stuff and being like, it's defective.
Yeah, it's totally
still like a lot of money to like put on your credit card for a second. Like, he better be real good at making sure he can return all that stuff.
Oh my God. So true. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, Rent the Runway is an awesome company that you can rent like really cool, awesome dresses and stuff and then return them. So you're not spending, you know, a bajillion dollars on a prom dress that you're never going to use again, or like a wedding dress, or not wedding dress, but like a dress to wear to a wedding or whatever. I think it's a great and really smart idea.
Yeah.
So, okay, continuing.
When they're giving their ideas to Leslie, I love, I was about to say Jim for Jim O'Hare. I love Jerry's line of they're all rapists instead of rappers, which I think is so funny. And I actually like Tom's idea. Obviously you don't want to be building it from scratch, right? Because it's 200, it's going to be millions of dollars. But I think if they have like an old building that they don't use or something that could be a multi-purpose, I think that would be, I think that's a great idea because he's right. Like, do they have concerts there? Like, probably not. And that could be really good revenue for the city. So I'm actually not against Tom's idea. Just the idea of it being completely a new building and everything. I also wanted to ask, cause I feel like, we've all been part of teams before. Like, if you ever feel like you're just drained, cause I related really hard to Leslie in this, where there are times where I'm on my team and it's like, I feel like I'm the one that's always going in to get things fixed. And then it's like, when a big thing happens, I'm burnt out. I'm so tired. I'm so done with this project specifically, and I need someone else to step in and help. And it's like, no, but you got it. You've done it before. You've got it. You can handle it. You can have this big conversation. You can do this. And it's just like, sometimes you almost feel alone. I felt like that's how Leslie felt this in this episode, because nobody's giving her ideas. She kind of is just expected to do it on her own. And that's kind of frustrating. And like some people don't even come, like April doesn't come to the meeting with an idea because she just expects Leslie to have an idea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like you can relate to that a lot, Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, whatever. Even like Tom and April were like, yeah, I don't need to do anything because just Leslie does it better. So why do I even need to try?
Yeah, which is so like, I understand the comedy of it 1000%. But it's also like, I felt the same way. I'm thinking that Maddie might be alluding to that. It was just like extremely disrespectful. And like, I mean, I get it, though, at the same time. It's like, I see both sides, as per usual, I suppose. But like, it's just, I don't like the disrespect, but I unlike the like lack of work ethic. But I also see how, which again, this might sound stupid, but you know, you teach people how to treat you, that whole thing. And Leslie never asks for help and never asks for them to like do a ton of things anyway. So a part of me feels like if she maybe, and it's not on her at all. Yeah. I'm not saying that at all. But there are certain times when I'm like, you could be delegating and then they would have to like be trained in this way to like support you. But yeah, I don't know. It's layered for sure. That's really tough.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and I feel that way sometimes, like with representation, like for me acting wise, because work wise, it's kind of like whatever. But like for me acting wise, I'm just like, I have to remind myself, and I mean, this is different, I suppose, but I do have to remind myself that no one's going to care about your project as much as you do. And there's just like, you can expect people to be passionate, but you can't expect people to be the same exact height of excitement and enthusiasm as you, mm-hmm. which sucks. But like that will, I feel like that helps me compartmentalize a bit. But yeah. On Leslie's end, yeah, that it definitely sucks that she's like, she doesn't have any help.
Right.
But she did have Ben for Harvest Festival, but like she's the one that came up with it. That's the thing. It's like,
well, Ben did have an idea. It just wasn't very fun.
Yeah.
Right. Ben was contributing within his logical right. brain way. So
yeah, super boring. Not sexy at all. Okay, continuing.
And I loved Ron's idea.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And there could be a split side to that, which I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on that too, is maybe Leslie in the past hasn't always given them the opportunity to put ideas out there, and that's why they feel discouraged to even bring ideas to her. So it could be a double-edged sword here, but I did feel for Leslie, feeling like the weight of everything was on her shoulders.
Oh my God. Sorry, Maddie, I cut you off. I thought you were done with that thought, but we had the same exact thought. I'm so sorry.
I just had to point out that I love Andy actually making a triangle with his phone in the air when he was yeah. trying to triangulate the phone call. This moment where Jerry and Ron are fishing together and Jerry wants to put together an abstinence class because his daughter is talking about going on birth control. I love Ron's just one sentence, very monotone. That might be incredibly effective. I think that's, I love that. I love this, how beautiful the sky looks, and Leslie make a comment that it's the pollution from the Sweetums factory, but is it worth the asthma? Mm-hmm. And Ben's just like, no, it's not.
No.
And I like Anne kind of throwing herself under the bus for Leslie here when Chris shows up to the campground. You know, they're all sitting around in the circle and Chris shows up. And he wants to hear all the ideas, but they don't have any yet. And so, you know, Leslie just looks at Anne for a second. She's like, hey, can we actually go for a walk? I almost felt like that was her sacrificing herself for the team, which is nice.
Yeah,
and then that ends up, I'll just skip to that note now. Again, another really awkward situation for Anne. And I have to agree with her. There were moments where Chris said, like, let's keep talking about us. Like, that makes me think that there is an us. Right.
Agreed.
Like,
yeah.
So I feel really bad for Anne because I feel like he's not being clear. I think it's very wishy-washy with how he's feeling about things. And then it makes Anne unclear as to what's going on. Mm-hmm. I have to also comment in this episode that I love Tom and Ben's relationship. I love that they've hung out. They were hanging out in his tent and then they share a room at the B&B. And I think that I just really like that we're continuing to see this grow from episode to episode.
Me too.
Also, I love after Anne and Anne tries to kiss Chris, she's like, I have to move, right? Like, I feel that way sometimes when I do something really embarrassing. So I thought she nailed that. And the way Rashida delivers it is really great. And then my last note is in the closing, this lady straight up has a harpsichord, which those are so hard to find, I believe. I don't know, Holly, if you've looked into that, but I think they're few and far between now. So it's really cool that she has a harpsichord, or that even that the team was able to find a harpsichord to make that happen for that scene. Because it just, I think it so fits the B&B and this crazy lady's vibe. So that's all I have to say. I love you guys very much. I hope that I can't wait to hear, listen back and hear what you guys have to say about anything I said. And I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your chat. Love you.
Yay!
That was perfect. I 100% that was so good. Agree with her on the Chris and Anne dynamic, as we mentioned before.
Yeah. Hate it.
I know, but like, I love Chris. But in this moment, it's just like you just need to like,
you're leading her on. Yeah. And you're just like the lack of self-awareness. Like we always say that I feel like Chris is the like the other side of Andy. They're both so self like unaware of themselves. And like don't know what they're doing.
Right. I also was looking at Reddit too. And there's actually a lot of people that were asking about the song that DJ Roomba is playing. And one person said that they searched for it. There were posts in 2015 and 2019 and people were searching for it. They can't find it. And that they think that it's just made for the episode, that it wasn't public.
Okay. I gotta find, I'll find somebody, like a higher up or somebody and be like, what the F was this? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's kind of good to know, because that's kind of what we had figured. I mean, I know that happens, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Back to where we were in the episode. Andy is setting up this super cute little camping spot with balloons and flower petals. I love that he spells out the name April with the flower petals. So cute. He has champagne. He pitched the tent. Cute little star lights, which I don't think I would have noticed unless I was like really staring at this episode, even though the camera zooms in on him like holding it. I think that's so precious. Yeah,
and the heart balloons. So romantic. Mm-hmm.
I know. It's like I almost wanted him to take a picture of that setup so that he could show April what it was. I mean, he set it up again pretty nicely, but, you know, this was so sweet.
Yeah, on his, like, crappy little, like, fold phone.
I know. Flip phone, baby. Oh, my God. Love it. Okay, so now we're getting to the ideas. Do you have anything before that, though?
Nope.
Okay. Ron says that we should return all the Harvest Festival money to each person, which would be 83 cents to each person, not including postage.
Well, I like how Leslie keeps having to ask him those questions. Like, I know. Okay, how much is that before postage?
Did you even think about this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It just keeps getting like less and less. And she's like, no. But that just goes to show you, when you think about, like, it just takes a little bit from a lot of people to like do cool stuff that everybody can benefit from.
Absolutely. I love that perspective. I didn't think of it that way. That's so true.
I know. It's like only 83 cents a person, but you can use that to do something like the Harvest Festival.
And see little Sebastian and Aunt Tilda.
Yeah, exactly.
And create economy for your community.
Right.
I love that. Okay, and this is where we get to Tom suggesting a venue for Pawnee. I wrote the same thing as Maddie had. I actually don't think that it's a terrible idea, but it's just so expensive, just like she said, you know? She said like $200, $300 million is what he says.
Yeah.
But that would be a great idea as far as like bringing in the revenue, but that's also a really good idea that Maddie had as far as like making it a multipurpose building or something like that. That would be really cool. It could be, oh my God, it could be another Ice Town, but except for you, like a Bridgestone Arena situation.
Yes, it's true.
Why didn't Ben bring up Ice Town? No, I'm just kidding.
Donna
has the luxury dog park idea, which is so cute because she's like, you're going to have to explain that. Or Leslie asks her to explain it. She's like, poodles only, no pooping.
I love that.
I do too. And then, oh yeah, Jerry has the rapist line then. Did Jerry come with an idea? I feel like he didn't come, or like we didn't get to his idea, or they didn't ask him or something.
An idea.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
That he mentioned. I was thinking too, I didn't research this before we started recording, but there was an episode that I watched or like something on the news or something that I read about how cities pay for large event venues and just how expensive they can be and how they pay for them over the course of like 20 to 30 years. And it was something like, there was something associated where it's like, they really had to make sure that like, they had like a specific sports team that could play. They had to have all this stuff because no city can really self-finance and they have to apply for like subsidies and loans from like the, government and there are some studies where they just were saying that like even though you have like a big venue, like it doesn't necessarily increase like the economic well-being of the city. There's something in here where everybody thinks it's supposed to be good, but there's like a double-edged
there's
sword.
A lot of backstory.
Yeah. Or and like I hadn't really thought scenes. About that. Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
well, Pawnee could get like a minor league something or other. The
yeah,
hell,
exactly.
I don't know who would play there or want to live there, but whatever.
I know. Yeah.
I want to live there.
Yeah. Do they have like a small minor league? Maybe that's what they need to do.
Yeah. But I do feel like a concert venue would bring in so much revenue like at the end of the day. You know what I mean? But yeah, with all that backstory, that would probably take a long time to build.
Yeah. You need something like the Enterprise Center here in St. Louis where it's like concerts. And hockey at the same time.
Yeah, and we need somebody to sponsor it, like Enterprise or Bridgestone or whatever the fuck.
Right, know? Yeah, exactly. So. I guess maybe...
Sweetums could do it. Why hasn't Sweetums done it?
I know, that's true.
Or Dennis Feinstein.
Oh my gosh, Dennis! And it just smells terrible. They just like
his
cologne, like, through
like, I feel like it would be like a duty-free thing.
Oh my
throughout
gosh.
That venue. Yes. Like there would be stores everywhere with his shit.
What is the
oh
name
God,
of
that's
his
so funny.
Cologne that he does again?
There's a bunch we learned last week. What's side that? Boob, itch, coma. Or not last week, 2 weeks
ago
or something.
What the one that like Ben almost passed out?
Oh, smelling. Yeah. I don't know
it
what
has
it was.
A stupid name. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I guess maybe Jerry's only contribution was commenting about the rapists.
Yeah. Well, so then this is when Andy calls April and he says that he's there, but they find out that they're at the wrong spot. And April says, I love this line. There's a brook somewhere that won't stop babbling. Like,
I know.
As annoying as April is in this episode, that line is pretty great.
I know. It's so funny.
And then Andy packs up this whole thing, this whole beautiful setup, and has to go find her. And then this is where Ben's idea comes in. They flash back to Ben and he says, like, we should invest the money, which is really smart. And then
yeah.
But Tom makes, like, I feel like Tom was being really rude at this point. Like, after they had this whole moment where he's like, why is Ben here? Like, you're done. The last thing that you're supposed to do is Harvest Festival. Like, bye. Shouldn't you be back in Indianapolis? And everybody was like, or not everybody, the audience, meaning me, was just like, why are you saying that? That's mean. And then Leslie steps up, which
yeah.
Maybe that was what it was, and like, or what I was feeling, and kind of sticks up for Ben and like says that, you know, Ben knows what Chris is going to want and how to like speak his language and, you know, get his
right. Yeah.
You know, get us a good idea and kind of help build on it. So he is an asset.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe this
I don't
is
know.
Supposed to be like leading up to like the kind of like, tension, like the love tension between Leslie and Ben too.
Were you, why?
Because isn't he kind of also there because he likes working with Leslie?
Oh yeah. I guess you could say that. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they just like hanging out.
It
with
becomes
each other.
More clear definitely next week because he's asking her at Andy and April's fancy party, like, should I stay or should I go back? Because
right.
I've been offered this other thing.
Yeah,
but we don't really know that in this episode. I feel.
Yeah. But I feel like it's
but yeah,
kind
you're
of
right.
like a little bit lucky implied because he just likes,
yeah.
you know, working here and
you're
he likes
right.
being around Leslie. Like, and
right.
they did such a great job together at the Harvest Festival. And yeah, so anyways,
yeah.
that's how
you're
I
right.
kind of saw it.
No, you're right.
But he was rude.
Yeah. Well, and this is where she gets all stern with them. She's like, oh my God, well, if you guys aren't going to have any ideas, blah, blah, blah. And Leslie confesses to Anne, I believe, that she doesn't actually have an idea because Anne's like, wow, you really let them have it. And so apparently, because apparently this meeting, like we talked about, is tomorrow that she's supposed to present this idea. Which, by the way, I feel like she should have more time. I'm just saying. Harry's Festival, like, literally just fucking happened. Like, give her a break.
Right, I know.
What?
I know. Anyway. Or maybe they just assumed that she already had something in the back of her mind. But to her, yeah. It was just like, oh my God. Like, this is a really big deal.
Like, she's drained, like Maddie said. And then this is where Anne suggests that, like, let's just make a park on the back of my house. Which, by the way, that I think that answers my question because I was wondering if, like, a part of Harvest Festival or some of Harvest Festival was on that lot behind Anne's house. But then she says, like, you should just make a park. Like, I don't know. The way that this line is phrased makes me think that that is not what happened. Like, I don't think that they used that pit.
Yeah, they might not have. Festival. Yeah.
Because Maddie and I were talking about how we don't think it was big enough. So, like, a portion could have been, but I don't think it was used.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Anne's like, well, what about all those binders that you have that are evidently color coded in a weird way?
Right.
And Leslie said, this is where we find out, and I think this is a really important line, even though it's kind of a throwaway. Leslie says, like, Chris wants it to generate revenue, and those binders are really small ideas, not, like, big, juicy, let's get a lot of money, Harvest Festival type ideas. And then this is where she brings out her dream journal. Oh, my God. And she just says, I married Alf.
Oh, well, then she gives it to Anne and lets her read it. That was really funny.
Yes. And then Anne's giving her this pep talk, which is so funny. But this deleted scene actually goes on for quite some time. There is a deleted scene here where she goes on and talks about more ideas in her dream journal, and I'm gonna just read it to you. I didn't record it. I'm sorry, I should have, but it's just so funny. It actually reminds me of the hunting trip episode, actually, where she goes through her, like, jump cuts of, like, I'm a woman and I'm stupid, are you single? Yeah. And, like, just keeps going through all the things, but they cut it, I guess, for time. But she says that in her dream journal there were chipmunks dressed as waiters. An astronaut put poop in my mailbox. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Dandelion balloons. Teeny tiny little burps that tasted like mints. Ew. Martha Stewart shows me her various scars.
Oh, my God.
So her dreams are really vivid and weird, but they are not big ideas, unfortunately.
I love it. Oh, my God. That's so funny. I also had on here, too, really quickly, before we talk about her dreams, is when Andy holds up the map that says that he's, like, really far away.
Mm-hmm.
That says Pawnee County on that. So how is he in, like, a totally different county?
Interesting.
And why
do you think it's like if you were on the border between, like, our county and Marshall, like Fauquier County, which is our county name, you guys, not saying anything crazy, and Marshall, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah.
But how did he get there?
I know. And, like, yeah, how did you get there in the first place? And where's your car, friend? Like,
yeah.
Because when he says that he's, like, way off the map, I'm like, oh.
Like, how did you, yeah. So this is when he tries to call her, and or maybe April calls him or something. And like two episodes ago or like three episodes ago or something, there was this old tech alert of April's phone ringing when she got a text message. And I played it because it was so aggressive. And now we're at Andy's, and it's going to take you back to, like, the 2000s, because I don't know why it just, like, strikes me so funny and weird, because now no one uses a ringtone, I feel, unless you're, like, over the age of 50. And I'm sorry, but that's just how it goes.
What is this for? This was for a text message?
Yeah, or a call. I don't remember. But I'm just going to play this sound for you really fast.
Hello?
Don't you think that that's, like, so, like, old school?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that, like, before the iPhone, I think that's all the sounds that the phones could play.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's just, like, I don't know why it's just, like, seems so, that one and April's, which I think I deleted that one, but it's just, like, so aggressive, and, like, that, like, beepy noise is the only thing that they have. And so I just, like, had to share it with you. It's such an
it's
old
It's like the pager noise. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Their phones so then are April, so old.
Yeah, especially those ones. Yeah. And because of that, I mean, well, my phone's bad now, so never mind. I was going to say because of that, he has bad reception, but that could be anybody.
Right.
And he says, walk around in a circle like I am and try to help triangulate the phone call, which is, again, what Maddie said, that he was actually doing a triangle in there.
I know. Oh, my God. I know. And back at, like, when they're sitting around trying to come up with ideas, there's, like, a shot where, like, the camera catches, like, the TV playing in Tom's tent. Mm. And it looks like a video game, like a car racing game. And it's well, so they weird.
He brought his Xbox.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it probably is. He brought his Xbox.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. And the pool table has moved. And then the scene where they're reading the her journal, like in a tent, like that's where I think what made me think of, like, when you're talking about, like, the camera people, like, just having to get those scenes of them, like, yeah. And I guess it looks like they're outside the tent zooming in a lot, but
they could be, yeah.
But they did a really good job, like, getting in there and, like,
well, because behind both of them you do see the walls of the tent.
Yeah. Oh yeah, in 844, yeah, there she's in the tent. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to ask Shauna maybe about that. Like, was she inside the tent?
Yeah, because she looks
Which, by the way, I just, there. Like, I love Shauna so much. She has, like, been such a queen to me, answering questions and all my dumb, like, little baby, tiny little, like, details that no one probably else cares about. But I'm always, like, bugging her about questions. So, no, just shout
I think
out
it's
to her.
So cool.
And if you haven't yet, please watch Welcome to Flatch on Fox, which is her show that she is working on now.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's a good question because, like, they are kind of squished in there, like, and then I also went back and, like, was watching part of this on my headphones. And I don't know if you know anything about this because you look at these episodes that way, but when I listened to it with my headphones, they actually did, like, a really good job of, like, the sound engineering and the sound
design. Oh my
God. Like, the birds tweeting in the background.
It's so good.
And, like, the crunching of the leaves. Like, I don't know why when I listened to my headphones, I was like, oh, this is really good.
It's incredible. No, they also, I'm so glad you said that. And that's such an interesting detail that you do not catch. It's so fascinating. I'm really glad you mentioned that because you really don't catch it unless you're wearing headphones, I feel. Like, if you're watching on TV or...
Right, yeah.
Maybe you catch it, like, without headphones sometimes. But no, I was going to say that it's either The Office or this one. I can't remember. They do a phenomenal job of the fluorescent lighting.
That oh, sound the sound,
like the
yeah.
buzzy sound of that. Oh my God. It's incredible. Yeah. So I definitely hear you. I noticed that too.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, these birds tweeting. I didn't even hear that. Like, that sounds so nice.
I'm telling you, this detail is insane.
I know. It really is.
It makes
but
me
you're right.
watch every episode like that, honestly.
You're right.
Like, every
I really
show.
Didn't even notice it until I had headphones on.
Yeah. Maybe if we had, like, because I've heard this from multiple people that even though TVs get loud, sometimes the audio is just shit. So, like, I know a lot of people who love, like, audio just in general have their own speakers to go on the TV because it's so much better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wonder if you got, like, fancy, not even fancy, like, you know, just better speakers, if it would come up that way, you know?
Right. Yeah. Anyways, I thought it was really nice.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm back at watching Ron and Jerry fishing.
Okay. Well, okay. As you're like going through the Peacock or whatever the episode, did you notice that when Chris is getting higher, he's trying to get to higher ground. Chris, Andy is trying to get to higher ground. Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And he's tripping everywhere and whatever. I can't figure out. There's like a metal thing in his hand.
Oh,
and I can't
that's
figure
a camp
out.
Stove.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, he had it set up at the campsite, too.
Oh, I missed that. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for telling me that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, he's carrying a little camp stove. He had it set up really nice, like, on a little stump right next to the tent. Like, he was going to, like, make them something for dinner or, like, on the little camp stove. And, yeah, it looked like a really nice little setup. And
Wait, I think I see it now. Oh, my God. Okay, that's really cute.
I know.
And there's one heart balloon that says, I love you. I knew that, but I wanted to see it again. Okay, I see this metal thing now. That is so precious.
Yeah, and that's his little camp stove that he's carrying with him.
Yeah, and also, yeah, like, you're right. I'm looking at the map now that says Pawnee County, and the way that he has it, like, it should not be that far away.
Yeah, why are you that far away?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
I know.
There's so, like a lake that he's around. And right. It's like, you should just be able to turn the corner and go the other side of the lake or whatever. But oh my God.
Get in your, hike back to your car and go like.
Well, it's just hilarious that he can't find her, but yet he somehow finds her at the B&B.
I know.
Anyway, okay, but okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. All right, so now Ron and Jerry are fly fishing. That's where you said you were, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Jerry's, this is what Maddie had already mentioned. Jerry's talking about being sexually active at 16 because his daughter wants to go on birth control. And she's like, I'm sorry, that is just too young. Jerry was, he says he was 24 when he lost his virginity to Gail. And he wants to lead a teen abstinence workshop. And this is so funny. Ron is so uncomfortable. And he's just like, yeah, that would be extremely effective or whatever Maddie said that that line was. It's so funny.
Just like, I could see like mom or like another parent just being like, I just think 16 is too young to be sexually
100%. That's so true.
That is Jerry's idea for the thing. It's his abstinence workshop that the Park Brothers will do. He figures out his contribution right there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I wonder if Jerry in some regards really likes Marsha Langman then because of how they try to be abstinent before marriage.
Right.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I know.
Well, so now, Ben, are you cool with me going on to Ben and Tom?
I wanted to point out one quick thing that I just noticed is Ron's hat in that scene, mm-hmm. Roberts Brothers, Inc.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, Minooka. Wait.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, apparently, Minooka, Illinois is where Ron is from or where he grew up. It's just like a construction company, and it says it's, or not Ron, but Nick Offerman's like actual like hometown is what.
Oh my God. So that hat is from the hometown?
That's what it says.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And it's actually not very far from, St. Louis. It's just outside of Chicago, on the, southwest side of Chicago.
Oh my God. Well, maybe you'll have to go there sometime.
I know. Yeah. It's
not what kind of company is it? Did you say you found out?
It's just like a trucking company. I mean, honestly, like if you look at like the their Google page and their website,
yeah.
It honestly just looks like a random house. Like we would like find a landscaping company in Fauquier County.
Okay, I'm gonna take a picture of his hat. I love that. Because yeah, Minooka, I love that. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really and look I like love his much little is going on with.
Yeah, his little fly fishing outfit, really cute.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, okay, yeah. So now Ben and Tom, are you cool with me moving on now?
Yeah, I really love before he gets into Tom's tent though is when he's scraping the leaves.
Oh, yeah, trying to like make himself a little spot.
Yeah, I
he, like,
don't
can't
know.
Get comfortable.
Again, that's like a, is that a writer's thing or is that, did he come up with doing that? I thought it was really funny.
I know. Maybe the director or something told him, just like, try to get comfortable and you can't. I would imagine that yeah. could happen.
Yeah.
And he goes to Tom, who's in the middle of a head massage with this like calming yoga music playing. Oh my God. And Ben's like, want to try to bounce some ideas off each other. And Tom's like, Leslie will do it. She's better at this. Whatever. Do you want to like have some fondue? And which is hilarious that he has that. But I just like, it's really stupid. I don't know. Tom's just being such a twerp in this episode. He says he like this again. This is where he says he returns everything because Tom or Ben's like, how do you even afford all this shit? And he says he returns everything. And I like get it, but I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of annoying, which we already talked about that. So,
yeah.
And then this is where Leslie comes up. Do you have anything before that?
Well, there's a really good scene shot of the porta potty tent. If you were interested.
Oh my God. You can actually see it.
Yeah.
And the toilet
paper
dispenser. That is so funny.
Yeah. I just wanted to tell you that.
Oh my God. Well, oh my God. Wait, hang on. Wait for me. Oh, I see it. I see it. Oh my God. Because I think from the other side, it really looks so much more big than it is. But this one's just like it's literally like narrow, like an actual
like a tall skinny
situation.
One. Yep.
Oh my God, thank you for pointing that out. I'm so excited about all this. And then you get a really nice shot of his telescope moment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Crazy. Okay. Love that. Thank you for pointing all those out. That's funny. So then Leslie asks Ben if he wants to go on a walk. And this is where the sky is really beautiful, and she says, oh, it's pollution from the Sweetums factory. I actually love this shot of them, by the way. I think I might have taken a picture of it, but it is so beautiful, like with the sky and the fields, and like it's them two, their tiny little bodies are like silhouetted kind of. I just think it's such a beautiful shot. I would love to know. I'm sure they like somehow VFX'd it. Maybe I'll ask Shauna if she remembers that. But I do wonder how they kind of got that like pink vibe, because that does happen in a lot of cities and towns, like a pink thing. But I wonder if they perhaps maybe like, you know, enhanced it just a little bit.
Right. You know? Yeah. Maybe they use like a filter over the camera to give it like a soft light or something.
Right. I'm going to take a picture of this again just in case I didn't.
And the sky does look like they probably edited that. I imagine it would be hard to get that really vibrant.
Yeah. Maybe.
Thing like that.
And then this is where he says, "Is it worth the asthma?" Or she says that. And he's like, "No." So then Leslie tries to, downplay this idea to kind of like protect herself. And she says, like, this idea isn't really that big of a deal. And Ben like says the opposite of what she wants him to say. Like, he says, "You got the attention of everybody. Now you're going to seal the deal." I actually love this scene, though, where she asks, like, "What if Harvest Festival was the biggest thing?" And he said, like, "The biggest, like, I peaked kind of thing." And he says, "Then you wouldn't be Leslie Knope." I love this line so much. I almost want to like have it as my favorite line. But I don't know if people would get it if I post on the story. But I love this line of like, "So I have to keep thinking of great ideas all the time, or I'm no longer myself." I just like, it hit me so hard. And I think that the things that Maddie was mentioning in her notes and what we talked about like relating to her in this moment, like, I love it so much. Like, yeah. So many people can relate to like, "So I have to be on all the time. Like, I have to be like Miss Funny and like Miss Exciting and outgoing all the time, or I'm not myself."
Right.
Like, what?
Yeah.
And Ben is like, obviously, he's like, "No, that's not what I meant. It's just like you're the energizer of city government." And like, he tries to backpedal and make her feel better and like explain what he means. But like, I feel like the damage is kind of done in Leslie's head. And not damage, but like, she's so much in this mindset already.
It's like sometimes you just need to like take a break and like walk away. And she just needs someone to be like, "Hey, like, just take a rest and then like let your brain work." But she's just like trying so hard. Yeah.
And
there's just like a lot of pressure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now they're around the fire and we get this impression.
I was going to ask, if you do talk to someone, I think it would be cool to ask if that scene of the sky is like real, you know, or was it edited like you talked about with the Harvest Festival scene? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll ask.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Yeah, because I feel like they would have had to be up on a crane, or not crane, but like up on a like thing as well, whatever they call that.
Right.
The construction people use it.
Did that production designer get one of those things in there too?
Maybe. I don't know. Shauna said she was up on a platform to get the Ferris wheel in the Harvest Festival episode.
Yeah.
She was like up really high, so maybe.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay.
Okay, cool. Are we now on now, Matt, where they're talking, where they're Ron's telling like his ghost story thing?
That's right.
But he's really just saying that someone had to take their car in for a state inspection.
Yeah.
Which to him is a ghost story because it's about how the government's trying to control us. And they hear a noise and they're all freaking out, but it actually turns out that it's Chris for his nighttime run. I love the little lights on his head and his wrists. That's like, kind of fun. And then Chris is like, "Okay, like, what's your big idea, blah, blah, blah." And Anne says, this is where, you know, she throws herself under the bus kind of and says, like, "Oh, let's just go for a walk and, you know, whatever. Like, let's let them work." And it's so nice because we already saw that Anne was so awkward. So it's just like she's being even more awkward, I feel, putting herself in an awkward situation by doing this. And that's where we see that Andy is kind of stumbling around, tripping through the forest, which is so crazy. There was a deleted scene, by the way, which maybe we'll talk about it a little later, but I'm just going to say it now, where he like says that he had to fight a squirrel. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a deleted scene where he's literally staring at a squirrel and he's like, "Oh, my God, the squirrel's going to kill me." Like, he has like evil in his eyes, basically.
That's really funny. I really love how well Andy plays the scene when he like trips over that like branch and he's like, what was that
Yeah, totally, we do that. The raccoons,
like,
oh my God.
But he's also kind of like a little laugh towards the end where he's kind of like smiling, and I just thought it was kind of funny.
He probably broke a little.
Yeah,
oh my God,
it was so good.
Tom brought NCIS season one, which is funny because he's like, I would like to go watch this now instead of talking about this. And the video itself has Pawnee Video on it. Like,
yeah, a blockbuster situation. Yeah.
Oh my God. So funny. I know. Leslie says finally that she's like, I don't have any ideas. And then she kind of spirals and she's just like, I think we can kind of relate to this where I don't feel like I'm like this as much now, but I still have these moments where I'm like, we just got to keep working and just work again more and just do it and powerful and get it. And we got it. And we're good. And we'll go with that.
Yeah.
And she starts banging the thing. She's like, you guys hear how loud that is?
Yeah. That's my favorite line, I think, of the episode where she's like, just do it and get it. And we got it. We're good. It's like so perfect. Leslie Knope.
It really is. Got to keep pushing, fighting. Yeah. Then Ron says he's going to go to sleep, and that's when she bangs the stick. And then they find out that they all ran out of food and because Jerry scared the fish away with his loud personal stories. Everybody wants to go home. They're having a terrible time. And that's when they cut to Chris and Anne walking, and Anne kind of opens up about how embarrassing it was for her to have been broken up with because she didn't even know it. And then Chris again, this is where we're talking about. Chris suggests they have egg white omelets and continue to talk about us, quote.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand that this is just leading her on. Like, Chris, just leave her alone.
I know. So dumb. Oh my gosh. I know. It's so true. But I feel bad for them. They didn't have any food. They didn't really plan anything about this. But meanwhile, Chris is just like Andy's been on this like 10-mile trek. And Chris is just like hopping around in the forest. Like, what are you even doing?
I know, totally.
But yeah, Chris is like, so like, yeah, let's go get egg white omelets. Let's catch up. I know this rustic diner. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that
sounds
is
romantical.
An invitation to go on a date. But also, how did they get out of the forest in this campsite? Okay.
Well, they walked.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ron says, Ron tries to turn the van on, but Tom has used all the battery power to the tent. It's been on for 10 hours. So everyone is fighting. And then Jerry suggests that they go to the bed and the breakfast right up the street. Because
well, I meant like, how did Chris and Anne get to this cute little diner? Because she didn't take one of these cars, right? Because the van's dead.
That's a good idea. Good question.
So I guess they walked back together.
I don't know if you caught this, Brooklyn. I'm just saying there were two cars in that little driveway thing.
Oh,
one was the van.
Yeah, there were. There were definitely two cars.
So somebody had to have taken a car.
Yeah, so maybe they let them take the second car. Maybe that's what it was. Or maybe they were able to walk to the rustic diner.
Yeah, maybe it was close enough. Who's to say?
Yeah, there's definitely like the silver van and then there's a white car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here. And they both have like the Pawnee sticker on them.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe they use that.
Yeah. But it definitely makes the impression that like they walked to the bed and breakfast. But I think they might have driven.
Or maybe they couldn't. Because Chris and Anne took it to go to the cafe together. Yeah, it's like a little like Toyota SUV thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Who's to say? Well, then Leslie says, all night work, all night work. And also, did you notice? I don't know, this is silly maybe, but Leslie's voice gets like really raspy all of a sudden.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe she was like sick or something.
I know, but in the other episodes, she wasn't like that. So maybe it was like the following day that they shot that or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was getting late. I don't know.
Maybe she has allergies. Like,
maybe so. I love this talking head where she tries to start a sentence and she's like, one day there will be a plaque at that Airbnb that reads, this is where Leslie Knope came up with the great idea. And then she expects to finish a sentence and she can't do it.
Yeah. And you can see before they leave the campsite, too, that everything's kind of covered in rain.
Like oh, okay. That's really a good detail.
Yeah. Poor Jerry. Okay. I thought that was like hilarious when he was like, now you're telling me I have to unpack everything.
I know. Oh my God. He's like, oh God. Yeah.
Also, who came up with the name The Quiet Corn? Like, that's.
Oh my God. I love it so hilarious. Much. And it seems so scary almost, like a serial killer type of like, we're definitely going to get murdered in this.
Yeah. And like, there was just like a corn maze at the harvest festival. So it's.
Mm-hmm. That's a corn thing.
It's just so funny. I really love it.
So the Quiet Corn is the name of this bed and breakfast. Elsa is the owner. She gives them a rundown. Oh my God. Apparently NBC released a website for this B&B, the Quiet Corn, after the episode aired, and it advertised room features, amenities, and meal options.
Oh my God.
I couldn't find the website, but that was what happened.
Yes, the website's still on.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think it is. I thought you found it. No, I don't think it is. Her outfit is really weird to me. I know it's supposed to be, but...
So weird.
Well, while you're looking at that, the actress who plays Elsa is named Annie O'Donnell. She's been so many things. Big Bang Theory, The Mindy Project, Days of Our Lives, Night Court, a bunch of stuff. I did get in touch with her, but she's like working. She's on set right now. So I'm going to email her again this week and see if she can send me some emails, because I sent her all the questions. So she's probably working on them. But she did so amazing as Elsa. I loved it. I wanted to know if she really is playing that harpsichord. I highly doubt it, but you never know. So I'm going to ask her.
Yeah. And I love her name, Elsa Clack. Like, it's just,
I know, so at weird. The Quiet Corn. It's so perfect. Love that breakfast is from 5:30 to 6:15 a.m. Hard-boiled eggs, tomato slices, dry seed and leek jam, and German muffin. Leek jam? Is that even a thing?
Oh my gosh. You can get a t-shirt with the Quiet Corn on it.
Of course. You can get t-shirts with everything.
Home of the German Muffin. 17 yep. Percy Street, Pawnee, Indiana.
Oh my God. I love Ron's line of, the fuck is a German muffin? I also love that Jerry is smiling throughout this whole thing. He's so charmed by this woman and this cats and everything. Everyone else is so confused and creeped out. It's freaking hilarious. There's cats in every room and dolls. There's not just cats, but there's also dolls, which are kind of creepy.
Oh my God. I know. It's so funny. I love how she says homemade tomato slices.
I know. Tomato slices.
Like, what do you mean homemade? Like, you just cut up a tomato?
She grew them, Brooklyn.
Homemade tomato slices.
That's what I was thinking. Is that she grew them in her garden, and that's why.
Well, wouldn't you say homegrown tomato? I don't know. Right.
That's so funny.
It's so weird.
And then Ben reads the guest room book after Tom and Ben are in the same room. And someone wrote, he starts it out as funny. Someone wrote they spent 3 nights of ecstasy in this room. And he throws it away. Which, speaking of ecstasy, Donna is reading a book called Your Erogenous Zones.
So
and
Donna.
When April walks in, totally. And she has a flask and she's like, I've got gin in it. Because April's like, what is that? Because she hears Andy outside of the door. There's no TVs anywhere, says April, which is crazy. And then this is where Andy finds her. Do you have anything before that?
No, I was just curious, like, was there any commentary, deleted scenes about like the dolls in this place? Like, where did they like get them from?
No, it was just meant to be creepy and weird, I think.
I know. I wonder if like someone, like a production designer or someone, had to like go to like some antique shows and like buy a bunch of these dolls. Like, I just love how this is set, because I feel like I've been in an Airbnb like this. Not an Airbnb, just like a old school bed and breakfast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very old timey, vintage.
So typical how they are. Yeah, with like all like the doilies and like the doily like pillow covers that are like uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think they tried to recreate that like vibe that you're saying.
They did such a good job.
For sure. All right. So Andy finds April. He's singing outside of the window and he is singing outside of the tent. He's so dirty and sweaty and nasty looking. Did you notice that?
Yeah. He has like leaves in his hair.
Oh my God. And he set up the tent area. So cute. He did a really good job. I couldn't tell because obviously the rose petals were kind of destroyed. So he only got the A, P, and R, and then I and L looked like they were maybe like, I don't know, wood carvings or something.
I think
so.
It's chips. Like, there's another scene. I couldn't read what kind of chips it was, but he had some chips hanging off of his backpack as walking through the woods. And I think that they're those chips.
That's hilarious. Oh my God. Love that detail. This is where he said he fought a squirrel, and that was the deleted scene where there's a squirrel on a rock like eating a nut, and he's just staring at Andy, and Andy's so freaked out. He's like,
yeah.
Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Oh my God, there was also this deleted scene. It's so nasty. Oh my God. Andy is about to eat a cockroach because he says when you're lost in the wild, you have to do whatever it takes to get protein. And then he finds cheese in his backpack and he's like, oh, okay, great. Thank God. That'll cut the flavor. Not that'll, thank God, like, I don't have to eat this cockroach, but I'll have it as a chaser after I do eat the cockroach. And he eats it. And then he says, like, oh my God, the legs are still moving as he's chewing it. It's so gross.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh. That's funny. I like that he's like, I had to drink most of the champagne because survival. And yeah. Like, you would not. No.
You mean water? So now I'm at the diner, if you are.
Yeah, I'm at the diner, but I wanted to like tell you a funny story because some of my friends, they really hate like porcelain dolls and like doll rooms, and Why? They think that they're like really creepy and like scary, like a clown kind of aversion thing. And okay. We had a really fun laugh because I told them about when I used to make ceramic like porcelain dolls.
Yeah.
And they were like, what, are you kidding me? And I just thought that was really funny because, yeah, they don't creep me out, but some people, they just think that they're really creepy.
Maybe I will say, like, the eyes in porcelain dolls definitely look like they're real. So that can be creepy at times, I suppose. I just like the outfits that most of them are dressed in. They're always usually really cute and precious.
I know, me too. But anyways,
but I could see how having, like, 100 of them, like, in here.
That's too many.
Crazy. Yes.
Okay. I'm at the diner.
Yes, they're having this moment. He says, honestly, I didn't think I would be around or I'd see you again. So, you know, that's kind of why. And she's like, I totally understand. And it makes sense with what we've heard so far. And then he says, she's amazing. And then he grabs her hand. So she tries to kiss him. And he's like, no. Oh, no. And right. I'm like, oh my God, the way he's staring at her, it's like the spell that she's under. And I'm like, ugh. And then this is where she has that talking head of like, I have to move, right? Like, I'm going to leave the country. Bye, everybody. Bye. I totally would feel the same way.
I know. But also he's being really leading in here. Okay.
Oh my God.
Because he's like, now that I'm here, we can talk about us. And he's holding her hand.
Yeah, like, why do we have to continue the conversation is my question.
Also, what is your deal? Anne's hot and amazing and wonderful, so I don't get it.
You're stupid. And it was so weird because, I mean, Chris was so adamant that he go out with her at the beginning. You know, he was, like, really trying to get in her world and in her pants, I feel. And then she was holding back, and then she was like, yeah, okay, let's do this. And then now it's, like, flip-flopped. It's such a weird moment. Yeah,
it's so weird.
But anyway, moving on. Leslie is in this room at the B&B trying to come up with ideas. There's Post-its everywhere. She's listening to Steal My Steal My Sunshine by Len, which is a one-hit wonder, she says, like she is. You should look up the lyrics, by the way. They're so weird. Are the actual lyrics are so weird. There's a fuzzy cat in there, and I love it. It's just like a fuzzy cat.
Oh, yeah. The cat looks kind of like mangy. It's so funny.
I know.
I love it. No, I was going to say, I can't remember what year this even came out.
It was like 2000, like.
Or 99.
10 or 11.
Oh, was it?
The actual episode did, yeah.
Oh, I mean the song itself.
Oh, yeah. But that was in the 90s, I think.
Yeah. But I remember listening to this when I was a lifeguard.
Oh, yeah. It was like the pool mixtape.
Constantly. Like,
The radio. That and the train songs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was later. And then Steal My Sunshine was like always on. And it just reminds me of summer.
100%. I love that Leslie goes on this rant like to Ron. Remember that one woman who came up with the Harvest Festival and never came up with anything ever again? Who cares? She's stupid and she's dead now. She's just putting so much pressure on herself. And Ron, like you were talking about, is the one that has to remind her that she's the only reason that they have jobs and she's doing fine. But she's like, no, I just have to keep pushing and fighting and whatever. And Ron tricks her. I love this. And says like, oh, my God, I just had a great idea. And then he locks her in this room. She's like, you're going to go to sleep. I'm going to force you to stop thinking and working. She tries to escape and the top is like painted shut. And she's like, oh, my God, there's like 50 cats in here, which I love.
I know. Well, and I love that he uses like the correct term for that area above the door. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it's called right now, but he's like, I've already checked that.
Yes. Yeah, I do too. Yeah. So Ron.
I know. It's so Ron. I know. So and I did notice she had her dream journal out on the table too. She's trying to come up with ideas.
Trying to come up with ideas any way she can.
Like, what is that even going to tell you?
So the next morning is the meeting. Do you have anything before that?
I don't think so.
Okay. We're rounding out to the end here. Ron, Chris, and Ben are in Chris's office for the meeting. Oh, wait, Ron is carving something.
I'm sorry. I had one other thing that I thought was like really funny is Elsa Clack pops her head out as like.
Oh, yeah. As, she's like, shh.
Yeah. And I just thought that was, she didn't even say anything, but she's holding one of these 50 cats.
Yeah.
And she just goes back in. And there's like a really weird painting. Like, I want to know where they got these weird paintings. It's like a little boy, but they he has no body.
The weird paintings. Yeah. Doesn't Ron say something to the effect of like, with all due respect, Miss Clack or whatever, like stuff a sock in it or something?
Oh, stuff a muffin like in it. Stuff a German muffin, in it.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. I thought that scene was so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are the next day.
Yeah, so they're at the meeting. Ron's carving something, as per usual, and Leslie runs in all disheveled. She's still in what she wore last night. She says she got 7 hours of sleep, which is twice as long as she normally gets, which is hilarious and unhealthy, probably.
Yeah.
And then she has a million ideas. This idea worked, and it's such a good like representation of what you have to do when you're maybe stuck, is that you walk away and come back. She has this idea for an observatory. You could do single nights, date nights, senior nights. You could do a citywide yard sale. There's like 100,000 things that she has going on. And then I love when Ron smiles and kind of smirks, and so does Ben. But Ron especially is like, okay, like, I'm going to leave now. And she's like, bye, Ron.
Yeah,
I love
this
that
was
part.
All me. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can leave now. I love this line, too, especially for her. I can't say that I necessarily. Actually, yeah, I do. I don't know. This whole thing where she says, like, you're only as good as the people that you work with. I think that is really cute, because that's true in the sense that, like, they'll help you with ideas if that's the part that you're relating to. But also, like, the job can be kind of terrible, but as long as you like the people, I think, like, that's really helps. Yeah, so
I know. I agree. And honestly, she wouldn't have been able to, like, come up with all those ideas if Ron hadn't locked her in there. So
that's what I'm saying. That's what she means. She's like, it's whatever. And then she does that huge laugh, and she opens her mouth really wide, and she's like, oh, my God, my breath is so bad.
I know.
But I just love this idea that, and this reminder that self-care is just as important as working. And in fact, one can't exist without the other. And you can't have good ideas unless you are rested and ready to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't even know how I would only sleep 3 hours tonight.
Oh my God, she's crazy.
I know.
Well, so now this lady, Elsa, is at the bed and breakfast playing this harpsichord moment. This is the tag. Do you have anything before that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Jerry is, again, so charmed. He's holding a cat. He's eating this muffin, which I guess is the German muffin that she was talking about. He's so into it. It's so weird.
Yeah, and for some reason, this scene so much. It's like one of my favorite parts about this episode.
I know. Well, and for some reason, Ben's the only other one in there. And Ben, like, is so creeped out, and he tries to escape, but the door is locked, and he walks. I love the way he walks back, like, with his shoulders kind of hunched, like, ugh, didn't make it. So many cats. And then he has his talking head afterwards. It's like, yeah, she died like 20 minutes after that.
I know. I just love this scene so much because, like, yeah, Jerry's holding this like cute little cat. The cat's loving it. This is the most cats I think we see in
ever
in one scene. And they're just walking around playing. I feel like I've seen harpsichords. Is it a different musical instrument? Like, I've seen ones that are like smaller than this. They like fit on your lap.
Yeah, I think that's technically a different one.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But I can't remember what it is or how, what, yeah.
Because this thing is huge.
Yeah, it's like a piano type thing.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's a different instrument, but it's like,
is it?
I don't know. Okay. I can't remember how it goes though, or like what it's called.
Yeah.
But it's like technically, I don't know. I feel like it might be the difference between like a ukulele and like a mini guitar or something. Like, it's not the same, but it's the same. Like,
yeah. Okay. This says that it's called like a lap harp or something, like a harp. A zither? Mm. Zither lap harpsichord.
Hmm.
And like you can, you put the little things on your fingers like a banjo player would to pluck the strings.
So, yeah.
I think that's why, I think that's what Maddie meant. Like the harpsichord themselves, like what she's playing, are very rare. But those lap ones, yeah. I think I've seen, like not all the time. They're mostly at museums, but you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know too. What Maddie said, where did they even get this thing?
Right. I also, well, maybe it's not actually a harpsichord. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, they just played the backing.
They
music?
Just made yeah. it seem like it was. And they used like, I don't know, a MIDI sound for it. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah. It does I look kind of real.
Yeah. I mean, it might be. With the detail that they put in the show, it really could be. Yeah. I know this is a little like random and maybe controversial, but I don't know if I wanted him to say that she died 20 minutes after that. I get why he did, but I don't need it. It doesn't seem like in line with the comedy. I just wanted it to end like with him being like creeped out and having to stay in that room with Jerry.
I know, but it was funny because she was like an older like cat lady. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so funny.
Well, do you have anything else after that?
I just noticed that they had to give promotional consideration to Top Chef at the end. In the credits.
Oh, yeah, because they had Cupcake Wars.
And then they had to give consideration to Dell as well, too, for the use of their laptops. I thought, just thought that
was
funny.
They do consideration to Dell every episode.
Oh, every episode they do? Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because they use that in the office computers.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, my gosh. I totally didn't realize that. I just saw that.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
I know.
But I think later on they have iPhones, I want to say. But maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That's funny.
I know. Well, that was Camping Trip. I feel like that was so much more involved than I thought it was going to be, because when you watch this episode originally, you don't really think about all the things that went into it, maybe, or like how, like I said, kind of uneventful, maybe just for me personally.
Yeah.
But I learned so much, and there was so many great catches that you said about Tom stuff. I just, there was a lot in there.
There really was. I know. And I just, I love thinking about it too from like the camera person's angle.
Yeah, me too.
And just kind of what they were doing to capture everything. That was really fun to think about as I rewatched it, kind of like while we were talking.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, well, do you have anything else that you would like to say before I wrap it up?
I just really love this episode, and it makes me laugh out loud at so many points. And I just really love it. I want to get a Quiet Corn t-shirt.
Okay, maybe we'll have to get all the, and I'll get a little puffer jacket with the Parks and Rec logo on it for Christmas time.
Yeah, we need that.
Maybe we could just get like a little patch and sew it onto whatever jacket we have.
Yes, I love it.
Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you, Brooklyn, for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Maddie for sending in amazing summary and an amazing notes section. That was so cool. I love that we got to respond to that. And then, yeah, if you guys haven't rated or reviewed, please let us know. But yeah, it's hard to believe Thanksgiving is coming up soon. So we'll have some kind of schedule going on for you. But either way, thank you so much for staying and sticking around for as long as we talked, because there was a lot going on. But yeah, hope you guys have a great rest of your week and weekend. And we'll see you next time. Thanks again, Brooklyn.
Thank you. Everybody.
Bye.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.